This is PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Oh, fudge.
Only I didn't say fudge.
Paul Perillo.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
I think that says fragile.
Oh, yeah.
And Andy. And Andy?
Andy, don't play with your food. Eat it.
Andy Hart.
Andy, show me how the piggies eat.
Do you think the boys show mommy how the piggies eat?
Some guy named Tom.
You look like a deranged Easter bunny. You look like a pink nightmare.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Holy smokes, only one thing in the world could have dragged me away from the soft glow of electric sex gleaming in the window.
PFW in Progress.
Oh, and the fish are right under combination. Do you want to check with anybody, Lee Russell?
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Ho, ho, ho. Indeed. We're about a week away from Christmas. In fact, we are a week away from Christmas, yes. Right? Yeah, it's next Tuesday. I'm not used to Christmas being on a day that's not, like, really interfering with NFL. Like, the last few years, it's been, like, a real problem in the Kirsch household. Not making any fans with the family. But this year, we'll be able to be home for Christmas. Yep. So that's nice. And we are here until 2 o'clock. With PFW in Progress, taking your emails, taking your calls, talking about the Patriots' win on Sunday over the Jets, 14-0, 20-10, big win. It was a lot closer than most thought, but, you know, the weather and all that kept it fairly close, but I don't think it was ever in doubt. Do you, Tom?
I mean, it's weird because the Jets had a ton of chances in this game, and if they got one or two, they'd be right there. But I never cared.
No,
I just never thought they were going to win the football game.
Right.
It's weird, and we should say thanks to John in L.A.
Well, we got to throw that right out. John in L.A. Is our food provider this afternoon, and
got
we have
engaged.
To give out a congratulations. He just got engaged.
Well, you give out the congratulations. I'll give up my apologies, John.
So you see that? You go on strike for a few weeks, and all of a sudden you find a wife.
Yeah.
So all you had to do was not work for a little while, and you found somebody. It's great.
Yep.
So John in L.A., thank you very much for the sandwiches.
Yeah, and
much appreciated.
Thanks for buying them now, because once your wife gets a hold of you, you won't be able to buy us food anymore.
Right.
So.
It's much appreciated on this bitterly cold Boston, New England day. It's awful here. I don't know why. I'm an adult, Tom.
You
I don't know why. I can choose where I want to live now. I don't have – why am I living here? This is ridiculous.
Here we go again.
We got 3 feet of snow out there. It was 1 degree this morning when I got up. 1 degree. That's nuts. I could live anywhere. I don't have to.
Why don't you get a job with the Dolphins? They seem to be going ahead in the right direction. They got to win.
Hey, you know, I heard he's trying to sell the team.
Yeah, then I heard he's not.
Andy says I'm rich. Maybe I should just go buy it. You know,
I mean, get a job down there.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. A lot of emails coming in, but we want to talk about this game, get our thoughts. Andy will be down. He's working on Ask PFW right now.
Well, he's been flirting with Lori all morning, so he hasn't
right?
gotten it done. Yeah, and every 2 seconds, she stops at his desk, and they're talking.
Is that right?
It's sickening, Fred.
Well, they're
sickening.
Trying to figure out what to buy each other for
yeah,
Christmas.
It's exactly what's going on.
You know?
The night that they had that Circuit City thing,
yeah.
You know, I went over to and was hanging out, and I didn't realize this, but I guess Lori and Andy were going to go over together, and I kind of ruined it for them. So,
oh, is that right?
So,
wow. Wow.
They're not happy with me.
Yeah. So he's looking to...
Time out. Why are you teaming up on me?
He's looking to figure out what to stuff in her stocking?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. So Andy will be here. Now, Paul, on the other hand,
yes,
is off doing WEEI.
Which he was late for.
He was late for that. But he's big timing us today.
Mm-hmm. He's not going to do our show, but he's going to do WEEI.
So if you want to be entertained, you can stay here. If you you want to take a nap,
yeah.
You need something to help you get to sleep, turn on Paul.
So he's filling in on the Dale and the Holly show.
And call comes to us direct from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
And I take it he's playing the part of Michael Holly on that show because I heard it. Dale's with him. And they spent the first 20 minutes talking about what Bill Belichick is like behind closed doors.
Okay. How do they know?
Exactly. And that's all they said to each other.
Well, I say 10 people could answer that question.
And that's what they said for the first, we really don't know, so then why are you talking about it?
Right. You're bringing nothing to the table.
Right. So, oh, poor Paul. All right. So, but this game, so we weren't really that surprised that it was that close considering the weather. I mean, the weather here, for those who only saw it on TV, the day started out in a blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got to the stadium around 7:30 in the morning, and it was, I mean, they were working like crazy to get the snow up, but it was coming down so fast. Then probably, I don't know, around noon or so, it started to turn to rain, thank goodness. But the place was a mess. And the biggest thing is the wind was just howling.
Yeah.
It was like 20 to 40 mile an hour gusts. Gary was down in the field, so he knows how much the wind was
blowing.
Basically,
it would have been Cleveland if it wasn't raining.
Yeah.
It would have looked like Cleveland.
But it was hard to throw. It was hard to catch. According to the guys, it was somewhat hard to run.
Well, and that's why weather like that helps the underdog.
Yeah.
Because in a dome, the Patriots have more speed, they have more playmakers, but you get weather like that, and it helps the team stay in it because the other team just can't be as aggressive offensively.
Right.
And Moss said that in his press conference, that there was things that they do down the field that they simply could not do in that game.
So now, does Moss do press conferences every
Apparently.
Game now? Yeah, I guess he's now the new guy. It used to be just Belichick and Brady, but Moss now is going to be the official post-game spokesman. So that's fine. But it wasn't not a good game for offense, but like we said earlier, it wasn't a kind of game where you were worried. The Patriots kind of had things handled, and they ran the ball decently. I know we're going to talk a lot about the running game today.
I thought it was a decent – for those people who, are really behind Maroney, I don't know how encouraged I would be. They played a defense that ranks 29th in the NFL against the rush. They gave up 4.6 yards per carry, 141 a game. And I thought they were just okay. You know what I mean? Like, it was all right. And I thought Andy made a good point during the game. The offensive line was really moving the Jets back. So you couldn't blame the offensive – you know what I mean? The offensive line, I thought, played very, very well.
Yeah, I mean, Maroney would hit the line and he'd already have 4 yards.
Yeah, Maroney wasn't awful. He had the shirt tucked out like I like. You know, the old Eric Dickerson, he ran pretty hard. I just – again, I saw some runs where he put his head down and kind of didn't go anywhere and –
Okay, well, we're going to talk a lot about that because people are coming in on both sides of that. So we need to need to address that.
In my opinion, that game doesn't say one side's right or one side's wrong.
And I think you're right. I think in all fairness, somebody like me, if I've been saying, hey, you got to give this kid a chance, the jury's not out yet, well, you also have to look at that game and say, well, that doesn't prove anything either.
This is what I'll say, Fred. In the playoffs against the better teams, you're going to see 4 wide receivers. You're going to see Tom Brady all over the field. You're not going to see them line up and pound Lawrence Maroney. You're just not going to see it.
All right. On the phone right now is our lunch provider, John in L.A. John, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Thanks for the lunch. That's great.
You're welcome. No problem.
Yeah, thanks, John.
To do it.
There's nothing better than seeing Gary Gradecki walking down the service corridor with a handful of Papaginos.
Listen, John, more importantly here, my whole life revolves around watching television. If I can't watch television, I'm not a happy person. Every night I turn on and I see repeat, repeat, repeat. When are you freaking guys going to get off strike?
Well, you're going to have to talk to the studios and the networks about that because they're the ones that are, they're being completely ridiculous.
Well, give me a time frame. Come on, man. I need the office.
I would say, I don't know, a couple more months.
You got to be kidding me.
They're being pretty heavy-handed with it.
Wow.
Jesus.
And they have a lot of power because of all this corporate stuff, a network is just one little part of a gigantic company that has plenty of money, that they can say, well, hey, let's watch and see if the writers want to be able to pay their mortgages.
Right. But now when this is going on, Are the networks giving refunds or rebates to the advertisers?
Probably, but they're still making plenty of money because, you know, they're still selling advertising, but they're not having to pay production costs, which are huge.
Well, John, if this makes me start reading books, it's your ass.
Well, buy some DVDs. There's a ton of good TV on DVD.
I'm waiting for Superbad. I'm hoping to get it for Christmas.
I am too, yeah. It's good.
So,
did you like Knocked Up better than Superbad or Superbad?
I haven't seen that yet. I haven't seen either, so I'm waiting.
I think Knocked Up is better, but I think Superbad will appeal to your puerile sensibility.
That's what
more.
I'm thinking.
All right, so, John, congratulations on this engagement.
Thank you. I'm marrying into a Jets family.
Uh-oh.
Are you marrying into money? That's the only thing that really matters, John. I got to be honest with you.
I don't know. They have more money than I do.
Oh, that's probably not saying a lot, but
a lot.
Good
no,
luck.
It's not.
Well, especially
but
now
they're actually
not working.
A cool Jets family, and the girl is a Patriots fan, so we're all set.
Okay, good. Well, congrats. When's the wedding?
It might be as soon as April.
Oh, all right.
Not during the draft.
There's not an issue of pregnancy yet.
You're not going to do it during the draft. I have a big problem with people who do that.
Oh, that's true. I've got to check the draft.
You don't want to come across me, John, if you're getting married during the draft.
Last weekend in April, you don't want to get married then.
My fiance doesn't want to come across me if we're getting married during the draft.
Good.
There's no way. She knows it's like Christmas to me.
Good. All right. Put your foot down early.
So are you going to get married in L.A. or where are you going to get married, do you think?
We're probably going to get married in New York somewhere.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You should invite us.
You know what? If it were a big wedding, I would invite you. But perhaps I think we'd love to come see you guys and buy you lunch.
We could do a live broadcast from the back of your reception.
Yeah.
We're broadcasting live from John and L.A.'s reception here.
That would be great. You guys, maybe you guys can
Where in New York underwrite it. Where in New York are you going?
Well, she lives in Staten Island.
Oh, okay.
So probably somewhere there.
All right, well, and have fun planning the wedding.
Oh, actually, it'll be just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just getting to the engagement was the tricky part, and now we're very, very excited, Matt.
Well, again, thanks for the lunch. Did you want to talk any football, or you just calling in?
I wanted to just say what I've been wanting to say all year, but you guys have been saying it plenty for me, which is Ellis Hobbs blows.
Well,
can't believe he's regressed. He's cocky and regressing at the same time.
Well, I think one of the things that's happening, John, is that Asante Samuel has elevated his play over the last 2 years so much that teams are starting to target Hobbs more. Like before, they would kind of distribute it around, but I think teams are trying to stay away from Samuel now. So Hobbs, I think, is the same player. He's just getting exposed more.
Well, I agree with you because I was thinking the exact same thing the other day. So if that's true, is Hobbs actually that bad?
I think he's what he's always been, an average cornerback.
But if you were the guy always being targeted and you were bad, I think there would be more points on the side of the opponent.
I don't think he's horrible. If you look at the number two corners throughout the league, I think he's around the middle of the pack type of, you know, I don't think. Hey,
well, that's my point.
What you're looking at, a great team that has very few weaknesses.
Right.
So when you stand out as a weakness, you're going to get picked on.
Right.
That's what it is.
It just seems like I see the number 27 every time a big pass is completed.
And
every
I think like what Tom said, and I think it's true, they're not going to throw it Asante Samuel's way.
Right.
So when there is a big play, it is going to be around 27.
They're designing plays to go at him. So
I don't think they're going to re-sign Samuel. I know that we think that they should and that they pay for big-time players and he's become a big-time player. I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're going to sign a decent free agent corner. I think they'll draft someone in the second round, and I think they'll let him go.
Oh, that's interesting. I think that would be a mistake, but we'll have to see
I
think they could get around it. They've gotten around losing, you know, big time players before, but man, there just aren't a lot of good corners out there. It's not like losing a running back.
I have to be honest with you, John, the way Bill's been talking about the league today, I think they re-sign him because he's talking about where linebackers are becoming obsolete, like middle linebackers are coming obsolete, and you need this and you need that. Just from listening to his press conferences, he's telling me that you need corners in this league.
Yeah.
So I think that they will try to do whatever they can to re-sign him.
I do too.
Well, thanks a lot, guys, and I'll listen to the rest of the podcast after work.
All right, take care.
Thank you, John, and congratulations again. All right, that's John in L.A.
After work.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of that. What's he talking about? What's he shoveling? No, they don't have snow out there. What's he doing?
Well, he probably does something else. After
probably a waiter
or
something.
That's what everyone does when they're not in the biz. They're a waiter so that they can wait on people who are and say, oh, I have a screenplay here. Can you read it? Isn't that how it works in Hollywood?
That's what I hear.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com. I agree. That's exactly what you – I was thinking the exact same thing you were saying. They're not going to throw it Samuel's way. So Hobbs is being targeted. But then I was thinking, well, if that's the case, maybe he isn't doing so bad. You know? Yeah, you're not going to stop every play. There's going to be one.
Well, I think there was some people who, including me, I think, were kind of thinking.
You thought he might even be better than Samuel.
Yeah, when I first got here.
Yeah.
I always, from watching games on TV, I thought Samuel was an overrated player. Then once I got here and Samuel kind of developed what this, I mean, he's as good as there is.
I mean, obviously, Hobbs is flat out faster than Samuel, but when you're playing corner, that doesn't matter as much. It's more, you know, that hip swivel, and a lot of it is instincts.
And
we saw a little bit about how smart Samuel is last game when he came off his player and almost, you know, he was probably two steps behind, but he came off his player and was ready to pick off another pass that wasn't even intended for the guy that he was covering.
Instincts are really big. And a guy, PJ, down in Philly, I think I said something about Lito Shepard earlier in the year, and I couldn't be more wrong. When that guy's healthy, he's as good as there is in the league. And they showed a play on the NFL Network where T.O. was running and he dropped his arms, and Mariucci and Dion said, when a receiver drops his arms like that, that means he's not going deep. Because when you go deep, you pump your arms. So Shepard read that, broke on the ball, and picked it off. And I thought that was some good information because it's something I wouldn't know. But that tells you right there, instincts like that Samuel have, that's from studying. That doesn't have anything to do with speed, you were saying with Hobbs.
Right.
So I think either you get those instincts or you don't.
Right.
And it doesn't look to me that Hobbs has them, so he has to get by on athletic ability. And like you said, sometimes you're going to win, sometimes you're going to lose in that situation.
Right. That is a tough, tough position, especially in this league. You know, when they spread you out and you're out on that island like that and you have no help, I mean.
And with more teams throwing the football.
And you factor in if you're not getting to the quarterback, it's all over. You know, the quarterback has time. He's going to find somebody open because you can't cover forever. So, but I think having said that, I don't think he's done that bad
a job. No, and if you look in Denver, you know, they brought in Dre Bly, who's considered a good corner.
Right.
He's playing opposite Champ Bailey. He's getting lit up like a Christmas tree.
Right.
Because no one's throwing at Bailey, so they're just taking their opportunities against Bly.
Right. You know, so you look at the overall pass defense that the Patriots put up. It's not bad. What are they, 10th in the league or something like that?
I think their defense is fine.
Yeah.
For the offense that they have. You know, I think we kind of nitpick a little bit because we can't just sit here all day and talk about how great they are. But when their defense needs to show up, it'll show up. Like they did on Sunday. The offense wasn't clicking. The defense, I thought, played great, especially the front seven. I don't have too many worries.
A lot of people said that this is Seymour's best game since he's been back off of PUP. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think he was in the backfield a lot. I mean, he didn't record a lot of tackles or sacks or anything like that, but I think you saw him. You heard his name. You saw him. That's my point. Like, I understand he might not get the numbers that a Dwight Freeney is, but I want to see him. And I saw him on Sunday. He was getting to the quarterback. He was in the backfield making running backs cut back. That's what I want to see from him. And,
My mouth full of food. But one of the things, I heard Seymour on the radio yesterday, and what's so funny? I heard Seymour on the radio yesterday. He was talking about, you know, the fact that he's a little behind. He's really never – he didn't have any training camp. And to me, it sounded more like he was blaming his, you know, progress on conditioning more than the injury itself. Mm-hmm. You know,
that could be. I mean, we noticed, I forgot what game it was, a couple of games ago where he was tired. And it was the Baltimore game where he was kind of at the end of the quarter. He was kind of behind. Everyone was running to the other side and Seymour was really lagging behind. And we had noticed that, you know, maybe he's not in great shape right now. Hey, I'm sure it's hard because we don't know the extent of the injury. We don't know anything around here. So we don't know. I mean, maybe he couldn't work out. Maybe he's trying to come back the best he can. That's the one thing, you know, being a media person around here, you kind of got to speculate because you don't really know.
Now, Eugene Wilson had a pretty good game.
Yeah.
Interception, forced fumble recovery. You know, he was. It's good to see him back out
less
there.
Less optimistic about him than Seymour, because I think he was just around. Like, they threw the ball right to him, and he picked up the
phone. No, I know, but.
But at least he was around the play.
Do you think that maybe, you know, this could be a chance for him to get out of the doghouse?
Well, yeah,
maybe?
And as Andy said yesterday on Felger's show, something like that, while it may not look like he was right there and those were hand delivered to him, it could help build confidence. You know, you're playing. That's one thing I think right now. You're playing a couple of bad teams. You get a guy like Maroney. Build confidence. You know, maybe he gets another 100-yard game against the Dolphins, and that starts building up confidence, and we have more food.
Oh, my God. Another delivery?
Apparently Chris from the Bronx.
Unbelievable.
See, thanks. John called me this morning, but Chris just went ahead and sent it.
Oh, okay.
That's okay, Chris. We'll find time for it.
Oh, boy. Thank you very much.
But, yeah, I think what Andy had said yesterday about these guys building some confidence, a Eugene Wilson, a Lawrence Maroney. You know, like I said, in the playoffs, they're not going to pound Maroney 28 times a game against anybody. We know that. But just to give the guy some confidence for when he does get the ball, that, you know, that could only help him.
All right.
Fred, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I came away from this game with one big question of my own. Where's Wes Welker been? I thought this would be a game. They would just pound, you know, I thought he'd catch 12 passes, though short over the middle. He's kind of been taken out of the offense a little bit.
Well,
I expect to see him have a big game this week against Miami.
I think in this particular game, the way the Jets were playing it, you know, they were standing up linemen, kind of milling about. There was a lot of traffic in the middle of the field, short middle of the field, and I think by design. And I don't think Brady liked looking that way because he saw a lot of bodies. Now, you look at that one pass that he had to Moss in the end zone. He overthrew the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
On that play, Welker was wide
open. Yeah.
But
and that was one of the things where people said Brady's targeting Moss too much, because
well,
there was three guys.
Yeah,
open
but
on
I
that
see
play.
I don't agree with that, because he might be targeting Moss, but if you see Moss, if your first read is Moss and he's in single coverage, you go to
him. Well, that's what we were
you
saying.
You don't go down in your
we were saying yesterday.
Yeah.
It's worked too many times.
Right.
You just throw the ball up to him. It's
right.
Worked in Miami.
I mean, a lot of people think like the way the progression works is you go 1, 2, 3, and then you make a decision. That's not how it works. You don't look at one option and then try to find a better one. If your number one read is a good option, you go there.
But would you say that possibly he is looking at Moss in crunch, in critical situations, he looks to him a little bit too much?
Not that
it hasn't been working, but I'm just saying. It looks like he focuses on Moss.
Well, I think if that's your first read and you see Moss one-on-one, that's a good read.
And I don't know if you brought this up. Bill said that was not a bad. He said if you're going to pick him, that wasn't the one to pick because
right.
it was a good decision. They had Moss, you know, 9 times out of 10, he's okay with him. It didn't work out, and he said there were other guys that were more open on the play.
Yeah.
But just going through his progressions and the coverage they had, it was an okay decision.
Yeah. But I think for the most of the game, you know, that play excluded, they had a lot of traffic in the middle of the field with linemen kind of milling about, and I think that kept Brady away from getting to the Welker read.
And that's one of the reasons why the Patriots ran the ball, because the Jets were using two down linemen. They kind of took the Giant Super Bowl, where they played two linemen and they had linebackers and everything. And I think Bill said, well, they didn't run Thurman Thomas.
Right.
They didn't run Marshall Faulk, but we're going to run against
right.
it.
Right, and that's what I think they did. That's why they ran a lot of Maroney. And that's why I think they, like you said, he had 4 yards before he even hit the line. Because, you know, they catch these guys standing up, and, okay, let's run the ball.
But just a word from the Jets locker room. I talked to David Harris, and I asked him about, you know, the running and everything, and he flat out said, we don't care if they run it. That's what he said. They
right.
did what we wanted them to do, and it gave us a chance to win. So that's from an opposing team. They're begging you to run the football if you're the Patriots.
Yep. So I just want to shout out to Chris in the Bronx, who sent us another
thanks, Chris.
A couple bags of sandwiches here. Get his email in. Wanted to get in one last delivery for 07 to spread good cheer for the holidays. Hope it gets there in time for the show. I'm sure you will cover all the bases today, including the predicted resurgence of Lawrence Maroney and the disappointing play of the Pats Pro Bowl punter. My only request for the day is that Fred and Paul have an argument. Allow me to predict how it starts. Fred says something that can't be proven, like, no one can argue that the Patriots have the greatest fans in the country. Then Paul says, actually, Fred, I think a lot of people would argue that, like the fans of every other team. Fred gets angry, raises his voice. Okay, fine. Patriots fans are the worst fans ever, Paul. Are you happy now? Then Tom talks with his mouth full, allowing Andy to chime in with, "Tom, we can't understand you with a throat full of meat, and that turkey isn't helping either." Did I read that?
That was well done.
Anyway, thanks for the work. I appreciate what you do, and I look forward to listening to you whenever I can. So that's Chris in New York.
That was a pretty good reenactment, Chris.
The only problem with that whole thing is Paul showing up to work.
Right.
Yeah. Paul is on.
You're assuming that Paul actually shows up here.
Paul's actually on another radio show today, WEEI, with the Michael Holly and the Dale Arnold.
Like I said before you came down, Andy, if you want to be entertained, stay here. If you need a nap, flip on over.
Certainly with not only him, but his co-host for the day.
Well, I tell you, the first 10 or 20 minutes was them talking about how Bill Belichick is behind closed doors, except for the fact that none of them know how he is. You know, behind closed doors.
I said to Fred, I said, how would they know? And he said, exactly. And they said, that's what they were both saying. Well, we don't know. Well, then why are you talking about it?
Right. And then I had to laugh when Dale Arnold started the show off going, Paul Perillo isn't here yet, so he can't even be on time for a 10 o'clock radio show.
And that's even more flawed than normal because the guy he's filling in for is the one guy that might have got a sneak peek of Bill behind closed doors when he wrote that book and was with the team for 2 years.
Right.
Yeah.
So that guy's out off the show and you start talking about something that maybe only he could shed a little light on? Good call there.
Oh, well. Anyway,
the other issue, making fun of the punter, Bill actually...
Defended it.
Well, he said he bobbled the snap, but he said had he not bobbled it, they still might have not gotten the kickoff because there was a serious protection breakdown.
Right.
Which was kind of obvious when there was a defensive lineman in the backfield that quickly.
Yeah. So,
whereas on the other side, I thought Kelly Washington, you know, I saw the replay again, just sort of amazing that he got there. I mean, it was just he beat his guy one-on-one,
the best special teams player I've ever seen.
He is. Now, if he's willing to stick with that, he's going to be a good special teamer for 5 years.
Who was the guy from the Dayton member I talked to?
The loudmouth, isn't he?
Yeah, that told me that he was good on special teams the 1 year, and I'm telling you, that guy's phenomenal.
Now, I just actually answered and asked PFW. My guess is he'll go somewhere where they'll give him the option to play receiver and special teams, get a chance on offense, because the Patriots aren't giving him the $4 million they're supposed to pay him to play special teams only.
All right.
But, there's always the chance he's that one guy Bill talks about that likes it here, wants to play special
teams.
Maybe
Izzo's gone.
Right. Maybe he goes, you know what? I could be on a team that's going to compete for a Super Bowl every year having fun playing special teams.
Hey, just for the record, so everyone out there knows so we can stop getting emails about it, Willie Andrews isn't doing much. I mean, we keep hearing how Willie Andrews is, Willie Andrews that. He has two special teams tackles, and that's his role. And he's not really around.
He's a little guy.
I just think he's had based on what he did last
what
year.
What does that mean?
He's a contained guy.
He was a little guy last year.
Based,
plays.
Right, yeah. Based on what he did last year.
But now Kelly Washington's here. He's making the plays.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Only one guy can make the plays on every kick.
So Willie Andrews is okay to not do his job?
Kelly Washington's better.
But I'm just saying, we get a lot of emails that say Willie Andrews is really playing well on special teams. I'm a little disappointed in Andrews' play. I thought he was going to really take it up a notch and become that key special teams guy. I think one of the problems with him from talking to him and doing a story earlier in the year is he really wants to play defense. We were talking about Kelly Washington buying into playing special teams.
Right.
I don't know. I think Andrews is thinking this is a stepping stone until he gets to play defense, and that's not the way to go about it.
No.
Well, I think I want my special teamers to want to get on the field.
Oh, right.
But you're
also
right.
Also accept
there's
gotta,
a fine
right,
line
they,
there.
They also got to accept that role and do it 100%. So, all right. Andy Hart, you done with Ask PFW?
Yeah, I rushed when I heard there was food.
Is it posted?
It should be.
So it's up there.
Should be.
Okay. It'll be in about an hour.
Chris was adding it. Yeah. Press shift F5 for the next hour, and at some point you'll
is
see.
Is Chris here?
Yeah, Chris is here.
Oh, what happened?
He had a doctor's appointment he said he told you about.
Oh, okay.
I told him that you had already started on the speed dial list, and he's lucky the first two didn't answer because you had him replaced.
Don't do that to the poor kid. That's just
today,
not
what was
fair.
The phrase today? I'm okay at home. It's just that I'm unhappy at work.
Yeah, I'm unhappy at work.
He said that?
Yeah.
Yes. You might want to have a little sit down with him.
I think you need to, Fred. He's not happy.
Really?
Now, you need to pick your approach. He's kind of like the Lawrence Maroney of our staff. Do you need to break him down to build him back up? Or do you need to pat him on the butt a little?
Right, I wouldn't yell at him.
I thought all this talk about the best webmaster in the NFL was
hasn't
good.
Worked. Okay. Hasn't worked. He's underperforming. He is Lawrence Maroney.
I don't think so. I think he's the best webmaster in the NFL.
So does Lawrence Maroney.
The problem is, Fred,
he doesn't even know about
you. Need to be tougher on him and yell at him like his wife does. That way, he'll get the point.
No,
that's what she does, and it works.
You guys deserve to be yelled at, not him. He does his job.
We do our job.
I don't ever remember not doing my job.
You guys get by. Let's put it that way.
What? He gets by.
We
Every time somebody asks him to do something, he goes, oh, that's not my job.
I'll tell you what, in a couple of months for the draft, let me know how we're getting by.
All right.
Check the stats on this radio
What do you
show
think I'm doing every Saturday when Allison wants to do something? I'm sitting there watching college football so we can have
a
heads up.
Great sacrifice.
Now he's spinning this.
I appreciate it.
Well, I think my wife doesn't want to sit there and watch football. I tell her I need to do it for my job.
I know that you really consider it important because I got an expense report for sweats. So,
he has probably hasn't bought new sweats in 5 years.
Right.
All right.
Although Bass Pro probably has them.
They do. They have some nice fleece stuff, too.
See how serious they do.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
When's the last time you were there?
I haven't been there in a while.
What's that, 4 days, five
days?
No,
about a week and a half.
You're trying to avoid the holiday rush. You'll go back with the regular.
Go back afterwards. Get the post-Christmas sale.
It's like when you live in a resort area and all the vacationers come.
Right.
You don't like that.
You don't like it. You like it when it quiets down.
Right. These are the amateurs, you know. All right. Webradio at patriots.com's email address, 508-543-7422. Want to read this email from Matt in Quincy. He says, while Perillo has left Coca-Cola today for a few hours to go work over at Pepsi, I thought I'd toot my own horn a little. I told you guys last week that the 24-point spread was a sucker line and the Jets would keep the game close and the Pats would pull away late. I'm surprised no one else saw this. I feel like I'm on a bit of a streak, so I thought I'd make a few more bold predictions. First of all, mark my words, this Welker kid is going to surprise some people this year. Secondly, I have crunched the numbers, and these plucky Pats really have a chance to go undefeated. Bold, I know, but I'm ready to shout it from the rooftops who's with me. Stay tuned because I'm thinking of getting my own 900 number. Casale, I may have to ask you for some advice in this. I think it has a chance to take off. For my final prediction, I say Perillo will go over to the Death Star today and tell Dale, pronounced Dale, he's a phony who knows nothing about football or sports for that matter.
He's not going to say that.
No chance. He turns into a little meow on that station.
When Diassi and Smirla show up, he will ask them when they will admit their long history of steroid and HGH use. And when he sees Glenn and Pete, he will finally tell them to their face that they suck up to Bill Belichick like a snuggle toy. I can't wait. What do you guys think?
Are you talking about Paul Perillo?
No chance.
And this is Matt. Matt emailed me privately. He figured out my email address like everyone else's. I don't know how everyone's just figuring it out and emailing me. But no, it's no problem, Matt. But he was all worried about the Atkins diet. He was like citing references and saying, no, you got diabetes, you can't do this. I had to bring him down off the ledge. I said, you know, this isn't the Atkins, this is the Casale diet.
I know, but I'm still worried because
I lost 2 pounds.
I know you're going to lose weight, but you got to keep the vitamins up too.
Yeah, and I'm gonna just stay on this for a couple weeks. It's just a quick weight loss, and I'm going to even it out on a regular diet plan.
Makes you feel any better? I could care less what you eat.
Well, I don't want him dropping, fainting in the middle of the second quarter.
This is the best I've ever felt.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah, I feel great.
That's good. Lost 2 pounds?
Yep.
How long? 2 days?
No, it's been like a week.
A week? Okay. 2 pounds a week? That's not bad.
I'm not eating no carbs. Yeah. I'm not eating, like I said. I'm not having 2 subs in the afternoon, 2 bagel sandwiches for dinner.
Well, you never had 2 subs.
I'm just saying, I eat a lot of bread.
Did today.
The meat.
What about the meat? All right, webradiopatriots.com. Kevin Couture in St. Mary's, Georgia. First, I thought the best thing that came from the Jets game this weekend was Maroney. I know it's just one game, but hopefully he can take this and build off it. It does go to show you, though, that if the run is a focus in the game, that he can be a contributor to this team.
You can struggle to score points and need defensive touchdowns to win.
They scored one offensive touchdown. It started from 3 yards away.
Second, I thought that the best thing to come out of the Eagles-Cowboys game was the fact that we didn't have to see Tony Romo's bleep-eating grin the whole time during the post-game interview.
That's funny. I thought that was the best thing that came out of the Patriots game.
Tom, you're my favorite on the show due to your tell-it-like-it-is style. No offense on the Tony Romo comment. I could care if the Cowboys win or lose. I just like seeing Romo look sad.
Well, they're not playing well. I mean, bottom line is they're just not playing well right now. They were lucky to beat Detroit. They didn't play well. And Keyshawn said on ESPN, what I said to you, Andy, is they don't look focused to me. And that's where I think having a head coach like that hurts. They had things not on paper, but kind of wrapped up already. You know, they still have to get the home field advantage. But like Keyshawn said, they beat the Packers, and it looked like they were going to cruise. They had a couple of teams that haven't played well this year, and they haven't come in with any focus whatsoever. If if Brett Favre didn't struggle so much in Dallas and if that's where he has to play, I think the Packers are playing much better than Dallas right now.
I think they've got that eye. But, you know, what the Patriots have done the last few weeks and what Pittsburgh and Dallas are doing now shows why it's so hard to go undefeated in this league. It's hard to get up every week after week, because I think Pittsburgh's playing like crap too.
No, they're playing terrible. The one thing I'll say about Maroney is, while he showed some signs, if they go in the playoffs and use this kind of offense, these fans will be writing in, screaming, yelling, because they scored 20 points, and one of the touchdowns was on defense.
Right.
The offensive touchdown was set up by a blocked punt.
That's right.
They didn't move the ball well. Was I the only one watching that game? And I'm not taking anything away from Maroney. He ran hard inside and I like Maroney. It's not like Corey Dillon where I root against him. I actually like Maroney. I wasn't sitting there thinking, boy, he looks great.
I mean, you know, you look at Jamal Lewis from Cleveland in bad weather. Now, that's running the ball well. You know, not that – look, and I think Maroney ran the ball well, but it wasn't productive to scoring.
And where were still no big plays. Like, and I'm not talking about 80 yards. I'm talking about ripping off a 20 or a 25-yarder mixed in there.
Hasn't had a 20-yarder all year. Hasn't had a 19-yarder since week three.
However,
152 carries. That's enough time to get a big play.
If I said last week I haven't given up on the kid, I have that much more reason to keep saying it.
Yes, and here's the other thing, though, Fred.
So this is good for me.
You watch the Saints play football, right, with Aaron Stecker in there. Now they're running the football. Aaron Stecker's running the football. So I'm saying to myself, well, what's wrong with Reggie Bush? You know, I'm not going to make excuses for Reggie Bush because they put in a guy who's not nearly as talented as Bush.
Well, he's on IR.
I'm just saying, when he was in there, he wasn't running the football
well. I don't think they ever used Reggie Bush the right way, though.
So you can make all the excuses you want. They put Aaron Stecker in there. They ran it well.
What's the right way?
They didn't use him as a halfback.
What?
I think he should be a halfback on that team.
I don't know what that means.
What you're talking.
They use him as sort of an H-back type of...
tight end?
Wide receiver type, you know.
He's Antonio Gates now?
Hybrid, third down.
The other
guy.
Thing, Fred, is the Dolphins have the worst rush defense in football. Willis McGahee ran the ball 29 times for 104 yards against them last week. To me, that's not a good game. They give up 155 on the ground. You ran it almost 30 times. Just because you get 100 yards doesn't mean that's a great game.
Well, it was tough to run it. I mean, it was a bad track.
So was it
slippery.
In Cleveland, like you
it
said.
It was slippery.
It was
a tough track when what's-his-name was going for 49 yards.
Let me ask you a question, Andy. Steelers got a pretty good rush defense?
Mm-hmm.
Bad track in Pittsburgh?
Mm-hmm.
Fred Taylor, $140.
Okay, well.
Just saying.
All right. Let's see. Artie from Keene, New Hampshire. I'm trying to figure out which games my buddies and I are going to travel to next year, which is going to be in a warm-weather climate. I was wondering if we already know which other division the Pats will be playing next year. I know we won't know the actual dates until next year, but which division? And it's going to be all West Coast. So you're in luck if you're willing to pay the
airfare.
Unless
you're us.
So, all right, let's see. Who's next? Angus says, why is it that after the bye week we are half as good? If we pass all the time, we have an awful run game. If we run the ball just because the defense we are playing is crap, we have an awful passing game. This is by far Brady's worst game. He seems to be getting a bit Moss happy with his throws and is starting to prove quite costly, since three out of the last four games have been very close. Something seems way too predictable now with their gameplay, and if they keep it up, we are not getting to the Super Bowl. Our offense put up a total of 13 points against the Jets. Are you telling me that the supposed best team in football is doing well when it puts up those kinds of numbers against such a crap team? Somebody needs to slap the players. Their efficiency is dropping. I think they are far too complacent, especially on defense.
Wow, Angus is not happy.
Holy
the meat man is upset. Boy.
Well,
I kind of agree with some of
them.
They
only gave up 3 points to the Jets' offense, so you can't put it on
the
defense.
The Jets stink. They're going to have to play good teams in the playoffs, or theoretically good teams.
Well, I'm here to say that all
I'm here to say Colts Packers is the Super Bowl right now.
Oh, you
the other two teams not playing good enough.
Oh, and you're going to stand by that?
No.
Yeah, he's such a fraud. What about the weather, Fred? Like, is that the one thing that concerns you moving forward?
Yeah, it does. I mean, if you have more games like this, it's going to be hard to throw and pass and catch.
Because when you're playing the Colts, you can't score one offensive touchdown.
Right.
You know, you can't hope to hold the Colts to 10 points and win that game.
Right.
You don't have any concerns about the Colts game now?
Oh, I do.
Colts coming in
are
here.
Are you kidding me? I'm the one that...
Because I still think the Patriots are better.
Yeah.
And I think if the weather affects it, they're still better. They'll make that play in the end to win. But what if Joseph Addai just comes in and they
right?
win that game with him? What if they're dumping it off to him? He's getting 15?
He's just covering all his bases, Fred, so he can say he was right.
No, I've been on record saying I think the Patriots win all along.
He's been doing
you were
that.
On record saying that the Steelers would give him a fight. Then when you were getting 10.5 points, you went.
The amazing thing is, Tom, he's
because
been
I told you exactly
he's been
why.
Covering all his bases all year, and he's still been wrong.
Or I've been right
it's
more
amazing.
Than any of you idiots.
I don't understand how someone can
first person to say 16-0. Were
understand.
You listening? No, you weren't.
Paul was.
No way.
Paul was.
I don't understand
wrong.
How someone can
he jumped on my
both sides of the issue and still be wrong.
I don't know. You worked with Brian Morey for 5 years.
Don't pin it on somebody.
I'm talking about you, fathead. Gary, go to the tape. Paul Perillo, first
go to the
one.
Tape. Who said it first? Andy.
Well, Paul was
Andy.
Right behind you.
He was. He always is. He's always stealing other people's arguments. That's what he does. I'm sure he's using them now. It's midway through that show. He's using us left and right.
All right. On the phone now is Tony from Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
Yeah, you said Tony. I don't like that.
Oh, you don't like? Uh-oh.
You'll be sleeping with the
mirror. I'm sorry, Godfather. I'm sorry.
Can you look at that Pittsburgh game, for example?
I can't stand that. I haven't been called that since I was like 5.
Oh, okay.
That's all right, Paul. You don't know any better. And not Paul, Fred.
No, it was Paul. It was Paul.
It was 17-13 at the...
It really was Paul.
Was it really?
No. I just wanted you to kill
him. Hey, can we do a cut-in on what Paul's saying?
Really giving up any big plays of any consequence at all heading into that game.
That's Paul.
You know, and despite giving up a 60-whatever-yard touchdown pass.
All right, we'll do some cut-ins on Paul throughout the game, but throughout the day. But, Anthony, what's going on?
Hey, what's up? I wanted to see how everybody else in Patriot Nation was feeling about the Lawrence Maroney, pretty much, you know, his play. I was kind of hoping that everybody wasn't going to get all happy and giddy inside because he gained 100 yards and 26 carries, because I'm still not impressed. You know, because basically the Jets almost dared him to basically run the ball.
Yeah, and that's how we're taking it.
Yeah,
but
it
if
was
you
okay.
just heard Angus, some people think this offense is coming to a screeching halt.
Yeah, Anthony, in the playoffs, when the games matter, it's going to be 4 or 5 wides. It's going to be Brady picking people apart with the pass. Maroney's not getting the ball 28 times. Trust me. They can't win that way against better teams.
Yeah. Now, was the weather that bad? Because it didn't seem like they were saying they were talking about any, like, severe winds or anything.
Oh, it was bad.
Yeah, it was. Oh, yeah. The winds were in the 17 to 20. They were gusting to 27. And I think another issue was...
They were gusting to 40.
They were what?
I went by the game book. I thought they had the
numbers. Yeah, they don't
numbers.
Know. The wind was gusting.
Now it was 100 miles an hour, and it was uphill no matter what direction the Patriots were trying
Gary,
to drive,
Gary,
just so you know, Anthony.
Gary was on the field. Gary, how bad was the wind?
Wasn't that bad.
What?
Fred, the gusts were 27 miles an hour, but that's enough to affect a passing game. And as Brady referenced that, they couldn't get a read on it. It was crossing. It was doing some different things. So I think it disrupted.
So you play safe instead of giving up an interception or anything. And I think that's pretty much what they looked like they were doing.
Yeah, and plus it was the defense that the Jets were running. Like I said, it was kind of like what Bill had done in the past to the Rams and the Bills, where he used 2 down linemen, and then those teams were kind of criticized for not running the ball. So I think the Patriots were taking what the Jets were giving them, and like the Jets said, they could care less. They wanted them to run the football, so they kind of played right into their hands. Plus, the other thing, too, is for whatever reason, Brady didn't look right. Forget about the weather.
Yeah,
even my mother called me up and said, is anything wrong with Tom Brady because he didn't look right? He just, from the first quarter, something wasn't. He was kind of missing those handoffs, if you remember, Anthony.
Yeah, that was weird.
And he was the passes weren't right. There was just something off with him.
Yeah, I mean, Maroney said one of them were his fault. The other one, Belichick said that Brady saw – you know, a corner coming off on a blitz.
We're not buying that.
I'm not buying it either, because they were nowhere close to each other.
No.
I mean, Maroney was 5 yards away from Brady when Brady had the ball held out. So I call that a miscommunication as well. There was something wrong out there.
And as I said yesterday, I think that's one of those days where it usually ends in 4 picks for him. He has those days. I know we, you know, put him on this pedestal that he's the
Everybody
greatest thing
does.
That ever. He has those days. Usually they end in 4 picks. This one was just a little different version of that. 1 pick, a couple questionable handoff and decisions there, but they won the game. Usually they lose them.
Yeah. Quick question, guys. I just wanted to know, because I don't have time to look it up, but what's the Jets' run defense? Where are they ranked?
29th. Going into the game.
29th, huh?
Yeah, and the Dolphins are last. So
we're
getting
last. Here's my question, too, is that even before this game, I said if Lawrence Maroney doesn't have a big game in this one, you know, I'm just chucking it up like the rest of the season, and even in the playoffs, I'm not even going to expect him to do anything. Because I'm just going to give him, me personally, which doesn't mean much, but I'm only going to give him four more games into next season because I honestly feel like his shoulder is probably still bothering him because you don't see the stiff arm. You know, he seems a little hesitant at the line, and he's not making that quick decision and just hitting the hole. I don't know if that's because of an injury or maybe it's just immaturity.
Well, Anthony, if he goes the first four games of next season and doesn't do anything, he's a bust because it's his third season.
Well,
and if you're going, you know what
I
mean? If you're going,
games,
you know, I'm just saying though, if you're right, if he's not a factor for the whole entire month of September next year going into his third season, then there's not anybody who can defend him at that point.
And I'll be honest, Tom, like I just said, I'm only giving him those four games because I think he's injured. And I think it's not even fact, you know, and if he's not injured, he's a bust now.
Well, then by your scale, I think he's a bust now because I don't think he's injured.
And they're not going to run him in the playoffs. It's going to be Tom Brady. It's going to be Randy Moss. It's going to be Wes Welker.
And it's just, you know, I look back on his schedule, like the last 2 years in college, and you know what? They didn't play anybody, the Gophers.
Oh,
you know,
nobody. They didn't.
They played nobody. The hardest team that they played was Purdue that was ranked number 11. And that, let me tell you, Purdue ain't no SEC team, as in like the type of linebackers that they had. And that's why he has those inflated numbers. He could do that against mediocre talent, you know? And now I think that's why we see the difference between Joseph Addai and Lawrence Maroney is because Joseph Addai, when he played against defenses, he was going through the SEC, which is basically, you know, they're basically pro defenses.
Yeah, that's an interesting, you know, comment because Minnesota did have one of the softest schedules in the country when Glenn Mason was there.
Yeah, and I just think he was feasted. He could hesitate, like when he was going through that schedule in Minnesota, he could hesitate, you know what I mean, and be like, because he was quicker than that linebacker. He was probably running the fives, you know, the sub-fives in the 40. You know, you could do that. You could get away with that when you have that much athletic talent. But now you're in the NFL, you hesitate for that second, and I saw it numerous times. He's behind the line, you sit there, he hesitates even once now, and that's too much. That gives the linebackers too much time to read where he's going and attack.
Well, and you're right, and to make your point, you saw Adrian Peterson last night, the touchdown he scored, he went, Urlacher was there, he jumped, he stopped, he was gone. I mean, you know, he didn't wait. It wasn't hesitation, he was changing direction on the fly. There's a difference. I think some people think that's the same thing. He did all that in 2 seconds. He went one way, he stopped, he went the other way, he was in the end zone.
Absolutely.
So I think Maroney is kind of stutter stepping, which is different.
Exactly. And I don't know if, like, and you know, the Patriots are too stuck in their ways. They're going to do it their way or there's no other way. I don't know if they can at least try to, like, salvage something and maybe give him a fullback like Lorenzo Neal or something, you know, maybe to just give him that little bit of confidence that he's going to bully his way through that line and he just needs to make one cut and go. You know, but then that's, you know, that's the Patriots bending to his way, which I don't see happening.
I don't see that happening either because now you're taking a receiver off the field. You're changing your whole offense to try to
Bill
let
wants
Maroney
to throw
be productive.
No.
All right. Anthony, thank you
Thanks
very
a lot.
Much. That's Anthony from Naples. Don't call me Tony.
Yes.
All right.
My money says you'll call him Tony next time he calls.
Shannon writes in. He says, will you please relay to someone this week that Dante Stallworth needs to get the ball thrown to him. I mean, the guy has kept his mouth shut. He deserves a few bones thrown his way. What is Bill and Tom trying to do? Cause tension among the players? I'm sure they see it, too.
Well, I think that's a case where the fans don't quite know as much as us because anytime you consider Dante Stallworth keeping his mouth shut, and we're not saying this in a negative
no.
way, but the guy probably talks more than any
he's
human
like
being
me.
I've ever seen.
He's like me. You walk in that locker room and he's talking nonstop.
Mile a minute.
I think Dante Stallworth's happy here.
I do, too.
Oh, he's very happy.
If you're worried about him not getting as many balls thrown
he's
as
very
way
happy.
And being, you know, a malcontent,
but
that's
Fred,
not
we were,
the way with Dante.
We were talking about this yesterday. I think in that Ravens game, Brady went to him early, and he was wide open. Remember the pass, the long pass, and he dropped it?
Yep.
Since then, he kind of hasn't been part of the offense. I don't know if Brady's lost some confidence in him. He doesn't have, as Andy's been saying all along, great hands. Now, if he catches the ball short in the open field, he's like a running back. He's dynamite.
Yeah, he's good.
But what have we seen? I mean, with the weather, even Moss has had to catch
even
more
Moss
balls underneath.
Welker.
So you're not playing into his strengths, and maybe that's why we've seen a little bit more of Gaffney in that stretch because
– Brady,
you know,
definitely
those 10 and 12-yard in-cuts, out-cuts, stops, that's not where Stallworth's going to make his money.
Right.
And that's what I guess you have to do in some of the windy conditions they played in. So it, you know, it really hasn't been Dante Stallworth time.
Let's see. Josh writes in. He says he's formerly of Chattanooga, now once again residing in Leominster. Isn't that where? No, Chris is from Fitchburg, right?
Lowell.
Finally got online and started downloading the podcast. Been listening again for quite a few weeks. and I have a thought I would chime in this whole Maroney thing. I agree with Fred. I think it's Fred, but who it isn't important. The key isn't the numbers. It's seeing what he's able to do. And, yes, he put up good game against the Jets numbers-wise, although I think 4 yards per carry is right about the minimum you want out of a featured back. But after watching the game, I couldn't exactly figure out how he got there. It seems like it would have to be literally be on the 26 4-yard carries because he didn't seem to gain much more than that on any play. Looking over the stats, his longest run was 11 yards, and he even needed 2 tries to put it in the end zone from the 3. He is putting up fairly decent numbers when he gets the chance. He just doesn't look good doing it. And as a response to the caller on Friday who said that Maroney gets the ball in half the plays he's in there, that's not saying much when he's only on the field for 10% of the plays in the games. Hell, you could almost make the same case for Vrabel. That doesn't make him an every-down back. Judging by that, Maroney would be comparable to most featured backs on teams that use a more balanced offense because when it's a balanced offense, they only run the ball half the time, give or take. By the way, we might have to work something out. I heard someone say something about a tour of the stadium a few weeks ago for buying lunch. I majored in economics. There's no such thing as a free lunch. So.
Yeah, well, that's what I, you know, you go by the eye test. Like, I know what his numbers were on Sunday, but I still didn't feel like, I was expecting him to have a bigger game than that. When you saw that they were going to run the football all day, knowing what the Jets do defensively, I was thinking, here comes a huge game. And it was, you know, it was okay.
I think you could have put Heath Evans out there and given him the ball 26 times, and I think he would have had 100 yards. Because I think the offensive line was the one that was moving forward more than Lawrence Maroney.
Dave in Storrs is on the line. Dave, how you doing?
Great, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Dave?
Just got out of school, back on break. Ready to enjoy some Patriots on my HDTV, instead of the crappy school TVs. Life's good. Life's good.
Good. All right.
So just had a question about this coming Sunday. How do you think the Patriots are going to attack the Miami defense?
Any way they want.
Well, I think if the weather's decent, I think you'll see we'll go back to, you know.
The weather's decent, they'll throw. If the game gets close, they'll throw. Otherwise, maybe they'll run a little.
Here's the thing. I think they're going to try to get Welker involved in this game because I don't think he's been involved the last couple games. It's his former team. We know Bill kind of likes to do that. I think Welker has a big day. I just think they can name their number against the Dolphins. Right. I know they haven't covered these big spreads. I think they destroy the Dolphins.
What's the number already?
20 and a half right now.
Really? They're still going at the 20s.
I think they destroy the Dolphins. Because this is, to me, the Jets, they have problems. They don't have a great quarterback, but they have some talent. In my opinion, the Dolphins are an absolute mess of a football team, and I think the Patriots are going to kill them.
Yeah, they should.
Well, that's good. Tom, did you see on, did you watch the Cowboys game? You saw the Roy Williams horse collar?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You're right. I mean, I believed you that he was a bad player because I hadn't seen much of him, so I just took your word for it. And then I saw the horse against the Patriots this year and then the horse collar. Man, he can't catch up to anybody.
He can't.
No, he's slow.
And he refuses to go head first.
The Cowboy fans, some of them still don't want to believe me. That's where the horse collar came from, is from him taking bad angles and being behind people. Now, I don't think he should be suspended for a game. I think that's kind of crap, but I think they have a better chance of winning without him, so it don't matter to me.
This is his third time doing it this year.
I know, but I honestly don't think he's doing it on purpose to hurt anybody. I just think he has bad habit.
And you got to break that habit.
But I still don't think it's going to. I still think he's going to do it because he just stinks.
Well, but now you've got a precedent. Now you've suspended him one game. He does it again. Now it's 3 games. Well,
when do they start suspending him for the year so I can get excited?
Well, if he keeps doing it, you know. All right.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
David Storrs, home of the University of Connecticut.
Yep.
WebRadio at Patriots.com is email address, 508-543-7482.
You missed his shortcut coming down here.
How's Paul doing, Gary? Let's see.
Enjoy football history, and I can tell you.
So they're talking about football history now?
Yeah.
It's like the old-timers football show.
Fred took a shortcut on the way down, so we're going through this place with, like, all these filing cabinets and boxes.
40s,
and he just looks back at me and starts laughing because he knew what I was thinking. And we were going through, like, I think we walked through Jonathan Kraft's office.
Why do you do that? Why don't you just go the regular way?
I said to Tom, let's take a shortcut. I knew he would get a kick out of that.
Why don't you just go the regular way?
Because I didn't want to walk down the cold corridor down here.
It was freezing, actually. Yeah. I wished I had worn my jacket.
So I wanted to stay up in the upper level as long as I could.
All right. See, that's why you give tours, because you know about those things.
Justin in Alaska, speaking of cold places. I wonder if it's It was 1 degree here this morning when I got up. 1 degree.
Okay.
What do you think the temperature is?
One. It was one.
And you were wondering if it's colder in Alaska. Is that where you were going with that?
Today.
I say yes.
Probably.
Let's see. Justin says, one, I made out big by betting everything I had on the Jets plus 24. Thank you, weather. Two, I thought that even though Kool-Aid, a.k.a. Bus, got 100 yards, he still can't hit the hole like a 42-year-old Kevin Falk. And three, 42. I don't know if you saw it, but Eugene Wilson actually played. This will be either the best or worst season ever in the history of the Patriots if we go 16-0. No one will care if we are 15-1 or 14-2 and don't win the Super Bowl, like the 98 Vikings or 04 Steelers. But if we go 16-0 and don't win it all, this will be the worst season ever for New England. I'd rather be 1-15 and relive the pre-draft days before I'd be 17-1. What a waste of an opportunity. A perfect storm like this will not come around again for many years, and when it does, we only have a 1 in 32 chance. It's us.
I kind of agree with that. I mean, if you're a Vikings fan, that season has to be gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
I mean, knowing how close you were to the Super Bowl and winning it. And, you know, if you go undefeated in the regular season and lose in the playoffs, it's never happened before. It's got to be a terrible feeling.
It's going to suck, but I don't know about going back to 1 and
15. I don't know if I want to be 1 and, yeah, but.
I mean, you'd rather be the Dolphins.
I know what he's saying. It means it's like, so what? You win 16-0. Who cares, you know?
I think he's saying for 1 year he'd rather be, and then instead of doing all this and then get into the championship game and losing to the Colts.
I think 3 weeks into that, I wish we were 1-15. They'd say, boy, I wish we were winning some regular season games again.
Let's see. He has a new game. It's called You Be the GM, the Charlie Casserly game.
Okay.
Get ready. You can only resign one of these two players for the Pats. Do you sign Matt Light or Kevin Falk? Ignore contracts. Just pick the player.
Matt Light.
Okay. Two, Dallas has offered the following trade. Do you take it?
Yes.
Their first rounder, the Cowboys, not the Browns, Julius Jones, and an 08 fourth rounder for our first rounder, an 08 third in next year's fifth.
Oh, no.
God, no.
I just figured it would be stupid because Jerry Jones offered it.
Just so you know, if it was just the first rounder, I was thinking of saying no. Never mind all that other crap.
Gary's just sent me a bulletin right now in Anchorage, Alaska. What do you think?
Seven.
You saw this.
No, I didn't.
You were absolutely right. It's seven.
I'm smart.
7 degrees. Three.
Thought I covered all my bases. I hit that one dead center.
Hey, Fred, how about that breaking news about the Florida State suspensions I told you guys?
Oh, yeah, 23 guys? How many actually got suspended?
Well, they're saying 23.
Okay.
I should tell a gambler friend of mine called me on Saturday and said that the game's going to be taken off the board in an hour because Florida State, words about around Vegas that Florida State's going to have suspensions. So, you know, took advantage and...
You should have gone with anything you could have gone.
Game went
sold
off,
your couch.
Game
you should have sold everything.
Game went off the board, and now Florida State's 23 suspensions.
You should have put $5,000 on it.
Here's the third one. We can either sign Moss to a 3-year deal or Welker, Neal, and Sanders for the same deal in money.
I'll take the other three.
Me too, but it's really fictional.
Four, the Steelers are offering Aaron Smith and a second rounder this year in a trade for Ellis Hobbs in a fifth rounder. Do you pull the trigger?
No.
Aaron Smith and who?
In a second rounder this year for Ellis Hobbs in a fifth rounder.
I'll do it.
What am I going to do with Aaron Smith?
He's your backup.
He's going to be my sixth defensive lineman? Any other, I mean, I might consider with another player. I just think he'd be useless here.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of Seymour, Wilfork, and Warren? Green, you paid him? I mean.
All right.
The old five defensive line.
Let's see. Steve in Edmonton's on the phone. Steve.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Steve?
I just got back from Vegas on Friday.
All right.
I haven't listened to you guys all week. I've gone through withdrawal.
Yeah, that happens.
Shaking, man.
Did you win any money?
No.
You see any boobies?
As it turns out, you have to be 21 to gamble there.
You're not 21?
I'm 20.
Oh, by the way, you have to be 21 to listen to the show, too. No, I'm only kidding.
All right. Well, I know you guys are making fun of Paul, but I know deep down you guys really miss him.
Oh, of course we do.
I don't miss him. That. I don't really care for him. he's a bit snobbish for my liking.
No, I miss him because, you know, there's the comedy right there. You know,
right. We need somebody to make fun of.
People want me to get into arguments with him.
Yeah, right.
I'm just sick of hearing all his theories on life.
Yeah, right.
we My family is very Celtic history, so you know, my grandmother has all these tartans and all this crap, right? I'm not a big fan of it. I don't care where I come from. I'm here now.
I agree. But wait, you're Irish? Isn't Celtic Irish?
Yeah.
Well, Celtic is Irish and Scottish and Welsh.
Yeah.
So you really drink.
Well, I don't drink, but I can hold my liquor.
All right.
Anyway, we got her this present. It's like a set of Christmas or Celtic favorite songs. And I just thought you guys really needed to hear this. Disc 1, track 9. The title of the song is Three Young Ladies Drinking Whiskey Before Breakfast.
Okay.
Three Young Ladies.
Oh, I wanted to hear it. Oh.
Three Young Ladies.
He knows the email address.
Drinking whiskey. Yeah, send the audio file so Gary can play it. Three Young Ladies Drinking Whiskey Before Breakfast.
Okay.
Stinking Irish.
What's Paul up to?
Top of the hour break.
Top of the hour break, okay. Have you been listening? Do you know what they've been talking about, Gary?
His eyes are open. Do you think he's been listening?
Going back to the 40s with Paul.
I mean, that show has no opinions, no fire, no anything.
Matt from Waseca, I'm sure you guys will be talking about Maroney's performance,
nice,
and I'd like to hear what Tom has to say. I think there were runs that he did well, but there were a lot of runs that Sammy Morris would have hit the hole harder and gained more. This game was very reminiscent of Patriots games of old. We didn't look special. We ran just as much as we tried to throw, if not more, and we came up with the plays to win that we needed to. I'm not so worried now about being able to run the ball, but it's crossed my mind that our offense isn't looking as sharp as it could be. Do you think that's attributed to the weather, or do you think that guys are just holding back?
I think it didn't look as sharp because they gave the ball to Lawrence Maroney.
Yeah. They're not a running football team. They throw it.
And I think the Jets might have had thrown some wrinkles in there that kind of bothered Brady.
I mean, disagree.
I think that...
I think if Adrian Peterson were the running back for the New England Patriots and they ran the ball 26 times against what the Jets were doing on defense, he would have had 200 yards.
I think that, you know, the fact that Mangini knows the Patriots so well, and I think that added to it a little bit. Last question, said Matt. Of the teams we might play in our first playoff game, rank them in order of difficulty. I know... We should beat any of them, but rank them according to which matchups you would prefer more.
I only care about the Colts.
That's all I care
They're
about.
They're the only team with a chance.
I mean, everyone's now talking, you know, Jacksonville's the in-vogue
no
team.
Chance.
Let them come here.
Yeah, forget
it. I'm praying for Jacksonville to come here.
Yep.
So is Bill Belichick.
This is the same team that Bill purposely lost a game to play 2 years ago.
And it'd be the same way. Ooh, they can stop the run. Ooh, we don't run.
Right, 34-10.
Brady would throw it all over him. Garrard would try to throw it all over this team, and all of a sudden, Mr. One Interception would throw four.
To me, that's the easiest win out of them all. Right
I agree.
There.
Bob and Regina, Canada. Experts, I am not joking or trying to be funny. Yesterday, Fred Smirlis on EEI mentioned that Tony Romo's legs may have been weakened and his performance therefore impaired by supposedly having sex with Jessica Simpson the night before the game. I have also heard that is the reason that boxers of the past were warned not to have sex before a fight. Fellows, is this an old wives' tale, or is there a scientific basis for this belief? And if it is true, to your knowledge, in this day and age, are football players and players from other sports counseled by their teams or coaches to refrain from sexual activity in advance of a big game?
I think Fred Smirlis is full of garbage.
That's well, definitely an old wives'
yeah.
tale.
Yeah.
Here, let me tell you the thing about Tony Romo. Last year, the Eagles did the same exact thing to the Cowboys. They frustrated Romo. Andy, I was at your house watching the game. It was Christmas. Remember, mm-hmm. they frustrated him. They picked him off. The Eagles also did the same thing to the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, when you can just throw the football and not run it, the Eagles are very good defending the pass, especially with a healthy Lito Shepard. The other thing, Romo hurts his thumb in that game and wasn't the same. The Cowboys obviously aren't playing well. I know his numbers look good against Detroit, but a lot of that came in the fourth quarter, and they were all passes to Witten. The Detroit took the receivers out of the game. So this is something that's been going on for a couple of weeks. Even the second half against Green Bay, they didn't look that good. So I don't think it has any – my guess is Tom Brady can have sex at 3 o'clock in the afternoon this Sunday, and he'll still throw for 350 and four touchdowns against the Dolphins.
Or maybe he had sex before this game, and that's why he looked a little off.
You know, having
by the way, if anyone ever told me not to have sex with Jessica Simpson, I'd laugh in their face.
You know, having sex makes your legs weak for about 30 seconds, then I'm ready to go downstairs and watch TV.
Right.
That wasn't the question. The question was, were you ready to go downstairs and play an NFL game?
I just think that kind of talk is stupid. I don't think his performance had anything to do with Jessica Simpson. And just so Patriots fans know, all of Tom Brady's girlfriends have been here at the games.
Yep.
So that thing that Colin Cowherd said, that Tom Brady would never have his girlfriend here, that's somebody who doesn't know the team, because Brady, you guys seen Giselle.
Giselle's
all
been
the
here
time.
A number of times. Bridget Moynihan was always here, although she actually was a boyfriend because she looks like a 12-year-old boy. Tara Reid was here, standing on tables, drinking.
Pete Shepard was even here.
That's true.
Right.
Did you hear they got game balls yesterday?
Who?
Supposedly Bill gave them game balls. Is that true, Gary? Bill gave the Big Show guys, their objective journalists, game balls. Are you freaking kidding me? That's an embarrassment.
See, now, if it wasn't
for both parties,
the
by
only
the way.
Reason I want to be on that show is for money. I don't care being on there with those fat losers. I mean, really, they're awful.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
They're objective, though. They're going to tell you when the Patriots don't play well, right after they put their game ball away.
And put on Bill Belichick's sweatshirt that they have on.
Maybe they'll hold the game ball next time they hug him with their sweatshirts
Brendan,
on.
Brendan A.M. Badea.
Owen is from...
At least he's technically good.
Owen from Belfast, Ireland, writes in. Just sitting at home here, listening to my favorite show, PFW in Progress, with 2 liters of vodka whilst munching on some raw potatoes. Life is good. A few questions.
Good or not, that's what life is in Ireland.
How did you guys think Eugene Wilson was playing before he was injured earlier this season? Should I have any worries with him in the backfield?
Yes. He wasn't playing well early in the year, and I don't think he did anything special on Sunday, even though he's going to get Defensive Player of the Week nomination. He had two gift turnovers.
I think James Sanders has saved a bunch of touchdowns this season, and I don't know if Wilson would have made those plays.
And I think James Sanders starts when James Sanders comes back.
Well, that's his next question. What's the extent of the injury, and how long do you think he'll be inactive for?
I don't think it's major, but I don't know how long he's going to be inactive for. He's one of those guys, I agree with Tom, I think he's a good part of the defense. So if it's a question, you rest him because you've now clinched everything. You want him on that that second weekend of the playoffs.
Also, Owen says, I think that Rodney Harrison has been playing tremendous over these last few weeks. How do you guys think he's been playing this past season since his suspension?
I think he's had a good year, not great.
Yeah.
I think he's had a really good year.
He's done a lot of different things. That's what I think's been impressive.
Right.
They've had him at corner covering somebody. They've had him man-to-man with a tight end. They've had him at outside linebacker rushing the passer, playing the run. He's done a lot of different things, and I think that's been impressive.
And, we were talking about somebody yesterday, Andy, thought we'd bring it up here. You know who I don't think's had that great of a year is Junior Seau. When I was doing the defensive stats for the game, Fred, I saw his numbers, and I was like, where were those? Like, I know he had the sack at the end of the game. It just seems to me he does a lot of running around out there, and I don't see him do much. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think Harrison's been key to the defensive schemes that Belichick's been coming up with. Harrison is like the key guy that has to do, like Andy said, the different thing to make it work.
No, I agree.
He's been good. But I still question, I point to that game against Dallas Clark. I'm not sure he can do that every week. I think he can get up for certain games and do certain things. But I don't know with consistency if you can count on him to be your key playmaker. That's why I think while Wilson made some plays this week, it's important to have James Sanders back there because he had evolved into a pretty good playmaker for them in that secondary. And I think that allowed Harrison to do some other things.
With all the turnover of Patriots players and staff to the Jets organization since Mangini has taken charge, I was wondering who is the most likely out of PFW to leave and join Jets Football Weekly.
Me,
Tom.
I would love to see that wee wanker Andy leave the show. I don't like Andy. However, I damn
like
sure
you.
Respect him. I mean, the guy suffers so much every day under the weight of that massive cranium. No wonder he's such a wanker to everyone.
And walking on those chicken legs that he's showing right now.
He hurts a little.
P.S. Tom deserves a raise. He's an incredible man with great insight and football knowledge.
Certainly
I would
not
have
an incredible
no problem
man.
With him being the dictator of my country. Eric is an Egypt, which is our word for idiot.
See, I always liked Owen. The guy, he brings a lot to the table. I think I would be the one to flee because Paul and Andy, they've already set roots down here. I'm kind of holding off for another year to see what happens, but I'm stuck here.
Tom still has aspirations.
Yeah, they're declining by the day, though, especially when I heard how much people at ESPN make.
Holy Moses, yes.
They make a lot of money?
No.
We're feeling pretty good about our lot in life lately.
You should.
Unlike Chris, who hates his job.
Can't get any days off.
Poor kid.
Now, talk about the first one to leave for Jets Football Weekly. From what you guys are telling me, he's ready to go.
Oh, Chris,
sounds like it.
Yeah, he's ready to go.
I'm a little concerned.
He doesn't like you. He doesn't like his job. He doesn't like it here. I mean, his wife's not here telling him what to do, so I think he's kind of lost.
He lives with Hitler at home, and he's got you here at work.
Wow. I'm a little worried about this.
We brought up, getting a day off, and Chris said, don't bring that up. That's something that's been bothering me for years or something along those lines. Chris, if you want to defend yourself, call in.
No chance.
Let's see.
What's Paul saying?
That was it.
Oh. Got and sign on with.
Let's see, Dan in Delaware. Last week I was. Isn't this the guy that just called?
Hey guy.
I don't know if this is the guy that just called. Why are you talking
here? Maybe on the. I was very critical about the play of Maroney.
This is really for because he signed up for another 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably not signing too many more baseball contracts. I mean, I suppose the same kind of thing could happen.
That is boring radio.
You know, he had some kind of opt-out.
Paul sounds like he's got a cold. He doesn't sound good.
This would seem to me, based on this guy's past, he's got some...
It sounds like NPR.
Did I hear crickets chirping in the background?
It does not sound, although it's written that way, it does not sound to me like Scott Boras has been fired.
If I was going through the stations, I would think that's like political radio.
Wow. Anyway, Dan says, last week I was very critical about the play of Maroney. I didn't see the game. It was not shown here in Delaware, but I did listen to it on Field Pass. And many of you Maroney supporters out there probably expect us all to jump on the bandwagon and for me to apologize about my comments regarding the aforementioned running back. So here it is. F you. So Maroney had a good game against the Jets. May it be that every week we play the 30th best NFL defense against the run in a blizzard. Heck, next week we will be up against the powerhouse Dolphins in their NFL leading 32nd ranking against the run. If only we get some inclement weather, Maroney will be all set. One good game this year does not make a good back, no more than one win makes Miami a good football team. Well, he did have a good game. Did he make the yards we needed them most? It was hard to tell from the Field Pass audio while I was watching the Ravens, the unfortunate local team I support. But still, over 100 yards. Maybe it's something he can build on. His confidence can only build next week. I will refrain from calling him Phony Maroney for a couple weeks. Is that enough of an apology for all you Maroney sycophants? Really, I don't care either way. I would call to defend my position, but I have a mandatory office Christmas party, and I don't know when our deputy director will let us free. Looking forward to the podcast.
Mandatory office Christmas party. that kind of kills the holiday spirit when it's mandatory, doesn't
it? We have ours tonight.
Hey, Eric's not coming.
No, I know. What a pansy.
What's that all about?
He's in Egypt. What's that word?
Why isn't he coming?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, everyone out there, his quote-unquote girlfriend broke up with him.
There's a shock before we asked to see her.
That's how you know somebody doesn't know how to lie right there. Because if you're going to lie about it, you drag it on for a couple of weeks. You start talking about things with us like, you know, well, she wants to do this, blah, blah, blah. Make it, you know, sell it. It's awful, awful.
Gary, what's when you say, Gary, are you coming to the Christmas party?
No, I was going to say, Gary, what's marketing doing for Christmas party?
Nothing.
You guys aren't doing anything? He's been told to not talk about
it. Right. Because it's a secret.
They're probably going on a cruise to Bermuda or something.
With strippers.
Right. No?
You've always
well,
done
you're welcome
past.
To come with us tonight. We're going to a restaurant. Seriously.
Thank you.
We're going restaurant? To three in Franklin. It's very good. What?
What did you tell everyone?
Just so you know, we're
you
starting to get almost.
Egos. You think everyone's going to come and you know, crash our party?
I do.
Really?
I think people want to see me.
Mike and Sharon will be there.
Yeah. Mike's welcome. Mike wants to come.
You're
I'm not buying his dinner.
I was going to say.
Now you're inviting.
He can come see us.
I don't care if the fans come. I can't pay for you.
That's right.
Can we get the Papagino's delivered there?
Right.
Can we drink at this dinner?
Of course.
Oh, nice.
Don't you have to drive home?
Yeah, I'm not going to drink a lot, but a few beers.
What, do you think beers? I'm going to say there's like a one-drink minimum?
I didn't know what rules you had in place.
A few beers, and then you're going to drive an hour home?
Yeah. That
doesn't sound right to me.
Don't you worry about it.
An hour? Where do you live?
Read an email.
Where does he live?
You know where
you
I live.
You live in Dartmouth, right?
Yes.
That's not an hour away, is it?
It is every time I've done it for the last 6 years.
You live that far away?
Yes.
I thought it was right down south there.
But unlike Paul, I don't beat you over the head with it and use it as an excuse to show up at 10:30 every day.
Why do you live so far away?
Because that's where I live.
Because that's where I was given my house. That's the answer.
I was not given my house.
Baloney.
I pay for it every month.
Yeah. Yeah. No down payment. It's nice.
I did have no down payment. I was gifted equity.
Yeah. You're what we call one of those silver spoon kids.
Yeah.
Up
not
your
exactly.
ass.
Better than what Eric's got up his ass tonight instead of going to the Christmas party.
Now, hey. That's terrible.
I had to deflect.
Alex writes in, question to Casale. Just like they say after a Brett Favre interception, I think Wade Phillips is having fun. He challenged an incomplete pass, and Larry Nemers, who is, in my opinion, a joke, sustained the call saying,
in the National Football League, a player needs to have control of the ball. How embarrassing is being schooled by Larry freaking Nemers?
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Wait, was that the play where they called the force out, but then they said he didn't have control when he hit the ground? On Sunday?
Yeah.
That was the worst call ever. The ground can't cause a fumble.
But it can on out-of-bounds plays.
Yeah, but he had the ball. He had possession.
Okay, but the ground can – if you hit the ground and disrupt it going up, falling out of bounds, they call it incomplete. You have to maintain possession through the ground.
Then why not inbounds?
Because the league has terrible rules.
That doesn't make any sense.
I
would trade 2 Terrell Owens for 1 Brian Westbrook, says Alex. Any news about Romo's thumb, or did he just turn into a pumpkin?
I really don't know what's wrong with it. We were working, so I didn't see everything, but I know he hurt it.
Yeah.
And I don't think having one. So is Brady all done now?
No.
You know what? Listen, I think to me, Romo's proven himself. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I think he looks things off. He knows where everybody is. I think the Eagles give him trouble. The Eagles gave the Patriots trouble.
Right.
And the Cowboys, and Romo isn't as good as Brady, and the Cowboys aren't as good as the Patriots in general.
They get that mean old cuss, Jim Johnson.
And they don't have a good coach. The Cowboys don't have a good coach. So when they have a game like that, they can't always overcome it.
Well, speaking of that, question to Tom, who would you rather kill, Wade Phillips or Dave Campo? He has to think about it.
I'd go Wade Phillips.
Wade Phillips, because Dave Campo has no business being where that was Jerry Jones' fault.
Plus, if you kill Wade Phillips, maybe they win the Super Bowl with Jason Garrett as the head coach.
Yeah, maybe.
Buzz in Gilbert, Arizona. Why was Brady overlooking the open guys and fixating on Moss? Mike Reese had a breakdown of the number of attempts and completions Brady made to Moss, and it was just ridiculous.
How come nobody was ripping Tom Brady for throwing a Moss when he was pulling down ridiculous catches in the end zone for touchdowns through 2 defenders?
I think that the Jets defense gave Brady some problems, and he was quick to get rid of the ball. And I think his first read was Moss. And he sees
I think we're so results driven, and everybody says it worked, so I'm not going to complain. It didn't work, I complain. It's the same thing I saw with Randy Moss when Jaworski started to rip him for not trying. He had done the exact same thing all year at different times, and you didn't rip it until it became this little show.
Well, how about there was rumors that the Patriots were interested in Darrell Revis during the draft.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a nice pick, huh? Having Revis and Samuel in the future, because that Revis is going to be a good player.
Very good player.
Andy in Sioux City. Paul said if Maroney had a good game, the emails would be coming in on how wrong you've been about Maroney. If so, the fans are stupid. Although he ran pretty good against 2 defensive linemen set, I still do not see any breakaway runs, and his vision for running the ball seems suspect. This certainly is not the back I thought they drafted and will remain disappointed until he shows me several more games like the Bengals game from over a year ago. I think Heath would have done as much with 26 carries and Falk would have done more. I seem watching on TV that the conditions were not that bad, especially compared to the Pittsburgh game. Did Brady have an off day or was it deceiving watching it on TV?
Both. There was wind, there were conditions that were clearly affecting things, but he also had an off day. I think if it had been sunny, 70 degrees and no wind, he still would have not had a Brady day.
And one of the things I think that isn't fair for people who defend Maroney is like when they play Pittsburgh and they say, well, Pittsburgh has a good rush defense. We're not expecting him to do well against them. Well,
then why'd you draft him in the first round?
Right. That means you're not a very good back. Fred Taylor had a good day against Pittsburgh. Now, listen, not everybody's going to have a good day against Pittsburgh. They're going to get theirs. But if you're a good back, you don't just rack up yards against bad defenses. We call that Ron Dane. That's what Ron Dane did in college, and he got to the pros, and he couldn't run. So you can't just rack up yards against the Dolphins and Jets. They didn't take you 21st overall to do that.
Right. And it's not too early to say he's been a disappointment and is never going to be what we thought he was going to be. I think it's fair to say that now. Now, he may still be fine. He may rush for 1,000 yards some year, but he's never going to be an elite franchise back. Never.
Not to mention he's playing on the greatest offense of all time. That's the major argument, I think, that's hard for Maroney supporters to overcome. We always said these guys in Indianapolis were a product of the system somewhat, and now Maroney has the system, and there's no openings. Right. I find that hard to believe.
Brian in Westbrook, Maine, I was just wondering if you feel
Is that real?
Yeah. Why? Westbrook, Maine? Oh, because of Michael Westbrook?
That was
try the other one.
What are you talking
about?
Brian, read it again.
Brian in Westbrook, Maine.
Because of Michael Westbrook. There's a guy named Brian
Westbrook.
Oh, there is? Okay.
Oh, my God.
You just
read
an email
that was
going to
trade 2 TOs for Brian Westbrook. Everybody was praising him for taking a knee.
Okay, well, that was 2 emails ago. That's a long time ago.
He played for the Eagles. He's one of the best backs
in football.
I know
he is. But
yeah, he was here like less than a month ago.
But this guy is actually Brian with a Y from Westbrook, Maine.
You know what we say around here about Brian's with a Y. As in
I should invite
gay
him down.
With a Y. Who?
Brian Morey. He's back.
No.
Go ahead. Then you three can be on the show, and I'll go upstairs. How's
Brian,
that?
Brian started on Monday.
Yeah, and he's not part of the show.
I was just wondering if you feel that the elements may have improved the defense's play. They played well, and it was against a poor offense, but I feel that the lack of footing gave a slow but intelligent defense an edge. In other words, I don't expect this sort of production in future games. Would you agree?
Depends. I mean, they played pretty well against the Colts.
I really think we're really nitpicking.
Yeah, we are.
Of course we are. That's what we do.
I think when they want to play, the defense is fine. Like, when they played the Colts, the defense was fine. They gave up 20 points. That's good enough to win. I think some games they might not have been as focused and teams took advantage. And you could say, well, Hobbs this, Hobbs, you know, this. But overall, how many defenses in the league would you take over the Patriots?
Right. Not too many.
You know, I think Paul is way off here. I really do.
I agree.
He did say last week that everyone's going to be emailing in. But, I mean, the Josh and Akron, granted Maroney did have 100-plus yards.
Paul kind of he
doesn't like the fans.
He doesn't like them, and he thinks he's above them. That's the thing about Paul.
He thinks
he's above the fans.
What's he doing?
Josh and Akron says, granted Maroney did have 100-plus yards, but it was against the Jets, and it was only one game. I don't think Bill has the trust or confidence in Maroney yet, but it was his only option, seeing how passing the ball seemed like a crapshoot.
And he also didn't have confidence when the game got close and it was a one-score game. All of a sudden,
they
went back to the pass.
In and
right. They went back to what they always do, and Brady was looking Moss, Welker, Moss. Nothing changed. I mean, they ran the ball. There was a chance there where they could have just run the game out, try to put together a long drive with Maroney. What he had done to that point didn't give him confidence that they could.
They could have done this a few weeks ago in Buffalo if they felt like it.
Yep.
But they couldn't have scored 56 points.
Right.
Bill felt like scoring 56 points that week, so they threw it. That's just the way it is.
They get worse when they try to give Lawrence Maroney the ball 25 or 30 times. That's the bottom line.
Louis is from Tampa. I wish a Merry Christmas to Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, Tom Casale, and Fred Kraft. After Sunday's game, how do you evaluate both Philly's and Baltimore's results? Both games were very close, but Philly seemed to be good, and Baltimore is just crap.
Baltimore is crap.
I think Philly's crap, too.
Brian Billick is crap, and I don't know why you'd make an announcement that he's coming back.
Well, the good thing is Bart Scott, he wasn't kidding when he said they were packing it in for the rest of the year. Since then, they've been blown out at home by the Colts and lost to a team that hadn't won all season. I think they got a good chance on the road this week against Seattle.
I mean, if you were the owner of the Ravens, would you
fire
him?
I would fire him, and you know why? I always fire a coach if the players quit on him. To me, that's like gambling in baseball, where they say that's the ultimate sin. If your team isn't that good, that's one thing. But if your team quits, to me, you've lost them. Like, whatchamacallit, Marvin Lewis, say goodnight. Your team quit on you.
And the other problem is, I think it's so flawed to say, well, I've already given him a two-year extension, whatever it is, 3 years. I got to pay him anyway. Who cares?
Right.
If you get a coach in there who wins, if you're in the AFC title game next year, you'll make
that now.
Whatever money that you're going to lose paying him, you'll make back tenfold.
The future is now. You're wasting not only those 2 years, but another year or two before the new head coach gets his
what
feet
is it,
wet.
Bad money, good money after bad he's throwing now or whatever? That's
terrible.
Get a new coach in there, win games, and you won't care that you're paying some guy to not coach for you.
Anthony says, I agree that Maroney didn't do much to impress. I thought he did his job and the Pats won, but the fact is he's a first-rounder and hasn't done anything. It was frustrating, and while he ended the game with 100-plus yards and a decent average, it's just not what should be expected of him. On another lackluster player, Eugene Wilson had a decent game, though both his turnovers fell easily into his lap. I know he didn't really do much in the way of playmaking for those, but do you think that would get him out of whatever funk he is in and make him somewhat more productive heading into the playoffs? He used to be so good, and it's really dropped off in the last 2-plus years. I have to think he has the ability, but could it be that he just lost confidence? It's frustrating to see such a drop in performance in a short period of time.
Well, I don't think that's a short period of time. I think 2-plus years starts to say he is what he is. So maybe he still has the talents to bring it back, but I think you don't count on it, you don't look for it, you don't expect it. You take it if you get it. And I don't know if it's confidence or he stopped working, you know, if it's just his nature in terms of the way his career played out at Illinois, whatever it is, you don't expect Eugene Wilson to suddenly be some playmaker.
And I was just thinking of something while I got up. I want to tell everyone, I'm going to give you all a Merry Christmas. This is what you do. Put $1,000 on the Patriots this week. They're going to win by 21 at least, all right? Then you wait for the inactives to come out. If Troy Brown isn't inactive, double up, put another 1,000. Because that means Bill's going to run up the score and throw Troy Brown a touchdown pass at the end of the game to get him involved.
How about I just put 1,000 on Seattle at home against the Ravens?
Do that too. That might be my game of the year. By the way, Tom Casale wins his game of the year 8-0.
The game of the year that he called off before the game, but no, then said if they win, I'll put it back on.
All I said was the weather kind of makes it iffy now because anything could happen. But it
you
covered.
Called it off. You
we'll
pansy.
Have part two this week. But if you want to, make your Christmas Patriots big,
I'd feel better,
especially
about
if Troy Brown's playing.
I might bet on Seattle.
But if it goes up over 20, no.
No, you can lay what you want. They'll win that game easy. Okay. Yeah, well, Seattle's is easy money.
What's that? What's
7.
Oh, jeez. If I was a gambler, I'd have about $5,000 on that.
Where's that guy? That's from? How I ended up here.
No, that's a gimme. Look at Seattle no at home
gimme.
Against Baltimore.
There's no gimme.
I mean, that's a gimme. That's a layup. I guarantee it. That's Andy Hart's game of the year.
Okay. TG and NJ streaming EEI and PFW simultaneously. Which show to listen to? Ah! Dale and Perillo, Casale and Kirsch, what a tag team match. Paul says the Pats ran the ball reasonably well with Antoine Smith in 0-1. You guys need to call him and tell him about all the food he's missing.
Well, Paul's right if you're making fun of him for that. Antoine Smith down the stretch was good. He was better than Lawrence Maroney.
Oh, he was tremendous down the stretch.
Yes, so he definitely ran the ball better than they've run it this year.
Let's see. Salt is in Orlando.
And by the way, if you guys lose that tag team matchup, that's an embarrassment for you two.
If it takes us more than 2 minutes to win, it's embarrassing.
Are you kidding me? That would be so over. Salt,
if I ever get on top of Paul, man, it's all over. I'm going to pummel him to death.
Where's Pepper?
Oh, working. Making the money.
Working it.
You guys were talking about Merriweather last week a lot, and you guys said, you know, I don't know why I'm thinking about it lately, but... You guys were talking about how, you know, you're not ready to label him a bust and, you know, da-da-da, he's a rookie. But, I mean, a lot of rookie defensive backs who weren't even picked, you know, as high as Merriweather for the Patriots have produced, like Eugene Wilson. I mean, he was second-round pick, but, you know, he started 15 games out of position. He got 4 interceptions. Asante Samuel got 2 interceptions. You know, Randall Gay got 2 interceptions. He started, you know, out of necessity in the Super Bowl. And James Sanders even had an interception for a TD his rookie year. I mean, and if
I think it's with younger players, you got to give most positions at least a couple of years. I don't think Merriweather's had a fair chance to be on the field and we could see what he can do yet. Running back's a little bit different because at running back, you can either play it or you can't. You know, there's not really much there to do. But safety... I think you got to give him at least one more year and see him on the field a little bit. I just don't think we've seen him enough to where we can say he's a bust yet.
And a lot of those other guys you talked about were forced into playing. That's why you saw them make some plays. If Merriweather were forced into playing, if he played 15, 16 games, I'm sure he'd have a fumble recovery. I'm sure he'd have an interception. He'd have a couple numbers.
He'd have one if he could hang on to the ball.
That's true.
Well, even like Tom says, use your eyes, you know? You know, don't just listen to the stats. Use your eyes. Well, I watched the Cincinnati game and I saw him hitting receivers out of bounds, you know. It's like he doesn't get it. I mean, that's simple enough.
And that might be the case.
Could be. I'm just not ready to label him a bust and say that he can't do anything.
I'm number one on bust. Okay. Until he proves me wrong.
Okay.
All right, then, guys, happy holidays and take it easy.
All right, Salt.
Brandon Merriweather a bust.
Okay.
According to Salt, he very well could be. I just haven't seen enough. And I think as a defensive back, it's harder to make a snap judgment and say, that guy doesn't have it.
The thing about Maroney is his second season is almost over with. Like people say you got to give him a chance. A chance for what?
Right.
His career is going to be almost over next year.
And I think the bigger point is running back. That's the easiest position to say he's got it, he doesn't. Safety? I don't know.
I don't need 3 years to evaluate Adrian Peterson.
No.
He's okay.
Dana has the PFW 2007 awards.
Okay. I hope I get one.
Considering the season's drawing to a close, I'd like to give out some awards to you guys based on your performance on 07. PFW MVP goes to Tom Casale for his cynical and say it like it is attitude.
Thanks, Dana.
Funniest
I really wanted
PFW
that.
Member goes to Andy Hart for his constant bald and fat jokes towards Paul and his gay jokes towards Eric. Dumbest PFW member is Fred Frank Jake Steele Kirsch for his theory of Belichick gave up a draft pick to prove a point to the league and his denial of Spygate. And the voice of reason goes to Paul Perillo, He also wins biggest, fattest, baldest douche. Just kidding, Paul. I'm just following Andy's lead. I don't want to give Eric any awards that let him know how bad he is because I feel he is one more insult away from going postal on all of you.
All right, Dana. I really wanted that
God
award.
Bless
Thanks.
You.
I had my fear about Eric, but I think we've moved past that. Now it's Chris I'm a little worried about. Because Eric seems to joke a little. Chris, some of these comments about only at work.
He's not happy to worry me. I don't know what his problem is.
Well, that's not good. I have to talk to him.
Especially considering where he came from. He rips the old job he used to have. Remember, he'd say, well, I didn't have health insurance, or the health insurance sucked.
I think he's only working here for the health insurance, to be honest with you.
Well, you know. Karen from Scituate, Rhode Island. I was listening to Merrill Hodge and Mike Ditka discuss Sunday's football games. Hodge says, or is it Hoge?
It's Hodge, and he's terrible.
He was saying that Gillette Stadium in January is not an advantage for the Patriots because their style of play does not work well in bad weather. He said that the weather favored a team like Jacksonville against the Patriots.
Nope.
I think he was basically saying the Patriots were soft and Jacksonville was smash mouth and they could handle the Pats. Jacksonville seems to be everyone's favorite playoff team right now. Are the Patriots now the 0-4 Colts and Jacksonville the 0-4 Patriots? What do you think?
Jacksonville is just the hot team everybody wants to jump on.
Listen, I'll tell you right now, if I was back in my old gambling days, you don't know what the matchups will be in the playoffs, but you kind of you start getting ones that you would like to pound. If I was sitting there, I would wait for Jacksonville to come here, I would unload everything. They are tailor-made for the Patriots. I don't care what you say about their run defense. That crap that Baltimore did, that's never going to happen where you just line up and run Willis McGahee. That's not going to happen in a playoff game where they're ready to go. That's all Jacksonville can do is line up. You're going to get third and nines. You're going to have Garrard trying to make plays on third and nine. And like you said, Andy, great, they can stop the run. They'll run it twice.
Right.
They'll just throw all day. That's an easy win for the Patriots.
I agree. And I do think the weather is not conducive to the Patriots' style of play now. I just don't think it's a fatal flaw that all of a sudden you can't beat the Jaguars.
If the Colts are the only team that can take a little bit of advantage of that.
The other thing that we don't talk about is the whole Belichick-Del Rio matchup. I mean, that's an absolute...
Huge.
I mean, that's
huge.
Like Wade Phillips. That's like some... Jack Del Rio is a bad coach. You may be seeing that this era of Jaguars was ruined, because I do think they have some talent on that team. And if they had a great coach, if you put Bill Belichick down there, I think there's a chance that the Jags would have been a Super Bowl contender during this era at some point.
I think their defense is...
I mean, they got a running back, they got a defense. I think they have some guys.
Let's see. James from the UK writes in. He says, for the first time this season, I missed a Pats game, so I can't really comment on it. So instead, I want to bring your attention to something Tom said to Andy after the Bills game, and I wonder if Andy remembers.
Probably not.
He said that if the Patriots go undefeated, he would give Andy his paycheck. Has he tried to get out of that yet?
I don't remember that.
No.
Gary, get to the tape on that.
Mini Gary isn't here. Sorry.
Apparently, at some point, Tom said if the Patriots go undefeated, he'll give me his paycheck.
I don't think it was
after the Bills game.
Andy, I think it was the Felger paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was.
I still want it. That's Ross asked about that yesterday,
too.
That's what he was talking about.
I said I'd give you my weekly paycheck for Felger.
You're going to owe me a paycheck in 2 weeks.
Uh-oh. Okay, and also, Gary, is there any way to download the intro video that the Patriots used versus the Steelers game on the big screen at the game? It was kick-ass.
No.
Says James. And who's on the phone? Dan in Delaware.
Hey, how you guys?
Dan?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, did you guys did I get lucky enough for you guys to read my email?
Yes, we did.
All right, well, then I won't go off on that.
Why are you yelling?
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
I'm just a loud guy. I'm from Malvern.
All right.
Hey, I just want to say something about you guys said last week. You were talking about how you guys got a lot of people listening to your show now, and you think it's because the Patriots are so popular. And while I agree, I just want to tell you guys, your show is going to last, and people are going to keep listening to it because you guys are entertaining. You're not just out there trying to give us the football news. But you guys are just a lot of fun to listen to.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
I think you just gave us our first ever PFW commercial. Gary, tape that, put it together as a commercial. Use that.
Even when you're talking about vacuum cleaners and toilet wipes.
Well, that's very important things. Those are the things that make life go around.
Right. We all wipe our butt.
Yeah.
That's right.
We all have that in common. Well, most of us have that in common.
Right.
Right.
I wish Andy would do a better job at it, but that's all right.
So does my wife when she washes the underwear.
Oh, you know, oh.
So I survived the mandatory Christmas party, and I'm headed home for the day now.
You had a Christmas party in the middle of the day that was mandatory?
Yes.
Was there drinking?
Yeah. They made it optional, but, you know, if you did, they'd give you the evil eye, so I didn't.
Oh, okay.
And were there presents? Did you get a bonus?
I got a $20 gift certificate and a Bible.
A Bible? Where do you work?
I work for the state of Delaware.
Wow.
What about separation of state and church? Right. They gave you a Bible?
Well, no, the Secret Santa thing. You write down a list of the different things you want, and that's one of the things I put down.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, hold on, Dan. Now, this. Do you have a moment here? Is this okay? Can I keep you on the phone for a second? We got the secret. We got the Secret Santa thing going at work, and I asked today what the rules are because I had a feeling that there was more to it than just you pick your name on a hat and you give somebody a. So the rule is that you have to put down what you want.
No, you can suggest. Like me, I told someone to give me a Basset Hound calendar. I was going to hit him over the head.
Well, nobody told me that.
Fred, you remember I asked you at the thing? I said the person came up to me and asked what you wanted, and you gave me an idea.
But you said you write it down.
No, Lori did it. She gave out a bunch.
Lori got me my gift?
No, she gave a bunch of ideas of what people liked, and she wrote down for you that you like Bass Pro. And
is that one of the rules?
I'm done.
Is that a rule, Dan, that you have
The way we do it is a couple, usually like 3 or 4 weeks before we do this Secret Santa thing, everybody has to write down on a piece of paper. And they actually have 6 lines where you write down like your top gifts that you would want.
Okay.
And they actually set a price limit for how much everyone should spend.
Right.
And then you go ahead and get, you know, for the person that you pick out of the hat, you get whatever you think, you know, you want to get them off the list.
Okay, so I got ripped off then.
No, you're going to get a fine gift that you'll enjoy.
No, because I didn't get a chance to write down my top
you
gifts.
Like Bass Pro.
Well, there's a lot of things at Bass Pro I don't like.
You like gift cards?
I'm sure you're going to get a gift card to Bass Pro.
All right, Dan, I'm glad you called up because now I can complain.
One last question for you, Dan.
Give us some coal.
Are you a religious man?
Yes.
And you enjoy us?
Yeah, you know what? I still grew up in Boston, you know, and I'm still kind of got an edge to me.
Oh, okay. You're okay,
you know,
Michael.
Let me put it this way. I need Jesus more than most people.
Oh, okay.
More than
gotcha.
Tom.
Gotcha.
All right, thanks, Dan.
All right. Guys, take care.
Dan in Delaware.
Dan, he's a good guy. Anyone think he's Chris Ferreira?
No, and I'll tell you why later.
Let's see. Iggy from Madrid writes in. He says, any chance of Troy Brown retiring without playing a game with the Pats?
No.
Why did Belichick sacrifice a valuable roster spot for Troy? We all love Troy, but we want him on the field.
What valuable roster spot? Tell me who they're going to sign. Steven Spock?
Right. There's no one.
I love these valuable roster spot things. Those are things that Bill says in press conferences just to shut us up. At this point in the year, you got who you have. That's it. They're not going to bring an Amos Zeraway or someone like that. I'd rather have Troy Brown on this team come in next week against the Dolphins, catch a meaningless pass just to say that's how he ended his career as a Patriot.
Plus, he was the guy that was Brad Smith on the scout.
Bingo! Yes, he does other things. And just having him around the locker room, his leadership, that type of stuff, I think to me that's more valuable than having a fourth tight end that can't play.
Right. Well put.
Gary printed out rules for Secret Santa.
Okay.
Apparently, it's not just supposed to be one gift. It's supposed to be a period of days leading up to the main day.
Oh,
it's supposed to be like a four-day thing with small gifts each day leading up to the main gift where you get together and everything.
No, that's Hanukkah.
Well, it says Secret
You're getting
Santa.
One gift from me. And you're lucky you're getting that.
My money says it's a Bass Pro gift card.
You got me my gift.
No, he's trying.
See, I can tell by your eyes.
No, he's starting.
You're my Secret Santa.
Yeah, okay, and I got you a Bass Pro gift card. There,
that's okay. I'll take it.
I'm not your Secret Santa.
You're lying.
And what was my recommendation?
I have Chris.
Because I told you.
I have Chris Ferreira.
You did ask me what I wanted. I said I wanted 7.7 caliber pellets.
The person who has you asked all of us, what should I get Fred?
What?
The person who has you came
What's
up to
now?
Us.
Oh, my God. I shot my eye out.
Asked you. Asked us. All of us.
Oh, so it was a female.
Maybe.
Maura.
Maybe.
Yeah. I can tell.
I have Chris Ferreira.
You can't tell anything.
You're not supposed to say that.
Nah, who cares?
Fred from Tucson, I can't believe how much whining there is about a 14-0 team. It seems that unless the Pats win 30 points, there's something wrong. Even the worst team in the NFL, the Dolphins, has players like Taylor, Thomas, etc. My point being that no matter how good you are, the team you're playing against has talent and pride. Throw in the fact that they are playing a team chasing records, that just adds fuel to their fire. Also, playing December football in Foxborough will slow down anyone. Pats are the best team right now. How do I know this? Because they haven't lost. I'm sure Dolphin fans must love hearing Pats fans worrying about their team's performance.
Fred, are the Patriots playing their best football right now? Oh, God.
Well,
Tom, are the Patriots playing their best football right now?
Not right now.
But
Thank
other
you.
Teams, maybe. playing their best football right
That's
now.
That's my point. The Patriots have always traditionally gone into the postseason, gone late in the year playing their best football. That's not happening this year. You cannot argue that they're playing their best football right now.
It's hard to say that, though, Andy. Because
why is it hard to say
because
that?
Because you're basing it on an offensive output that was like no other in the history of football leading up
I'm
to
I'm basing
now.
It on I see him giving up big plays on the ground.
Ago,
I've seen people throw
I think
on
three
them.
3 years ago,
they
we
can't
would say
run. They can't pass.
I think 3 years ago, a 2010 win over the Jets, we would say, that's great. They handled them. Because were you ever worried during that game, really?
No.
Yeah. I mean, so what are we talking about?
I also wasn't worried at 52-7.
In 03, they beat the Miami Dolphins 12-0.
I'm not comparing
and
it.
And it was
Fred,
like
Fred,
a blowout.
Fred, you're losing the idea here. Don't compare it to a previous. Gary, he's going to be distracted and say, I didn't hear you. Fred, stop reading for a minute.
What?
We're not comparing the team now to another team from another season.
But you're
season.
Comparing them to the first half of the season
exactly.
where they had unbelievable offensive output.
I'm just saying they were playing better football earlier in the year.
Well, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when a new pitcher goes around the league a couple times, you know, teams start to learn what they're doing and other teams can
hit that
too.
Pitcher.
No.
So if
exactly.
they hit that pitcher in January, this team goes home.
Well,
that's the problem.
But they're not
I saw that with the Cleveland Indians.
Usually the Patriots are better in December and January than they were to start
is
the
it,
year. They're not this year.
Is it reasonable to think
Colts,
that they're going to blow
Packers,
out every
Super Bowl.
Team? Is it really reasonable to think that they're going to have a whole season of wins like they were in the first half
listen,
of the season?
I agree
it's
with
not.
I agree with Andy.
You have to throw
with,
in the
I'm exaggerating.
I agree with
not.
I agree with Andy that they're not playing their best football right now, but I also think that they have one game left. It's against the Colts, and
right.
I think they'll be up for that game. I think they'll play their best during that game, and I think they'll win. I just don't see any other team that's going to come in here and beat them.
Were they playing their best football heading into the Colts the first time? Or somewhere near their
yes,
best?
Yes, yes.
And they barely got by.
Right, but
so if they're not playing their best and the Colts, they
hey,
could
I
get beat by the Colts.
There's no question they could get beat by the Colts, but that's the game. There's
right.
one game left
I
in this
agree.
NFL season.
Colts-Packers.
Dan Heffron writes in, and Gary wants me to tell you, Dan, that we need your poem by Thursday afternoon.
Now Dan's got a deadline?
He's got a deadline.
Poem?
Now you know how we feel.
Why? What's
Are we doing Friday as the Christmas show that everybody's been hyping?
I don't know.
All these people have been saying on our Christmas show. It's got to be this week, obviously.
Do we have a Christmas show?
He's on the phone talking to somebody.
He's the producer. I should ask him, right?
Imagine that.
Do we have a Christmas show coming up?
What do you mean to have a Christmas show?
I heard that Friday is our Christmas show.
Why do we need?
By heard, by he means Thursday? I just said it.
So
Friday.
I can have it by, so we can do it Friday.
It's because we have a Christmas show?
Yes. Yes.
Sure.
You're the producer.
Can we have eggnog?
Just say yes.
Yes.
Well, what's going on in the Christmas show? I want to tout it.
Dan Heffron's poem.
That's it?
And Fred's bringing eggnog.
And I'm going to get drunk.
Yeah, let's have.
There's a Christmas show.
Let's have liquored
We're
up eggnog.
Not allowed to drink?
We're also not allowed to accept free gifts, so we've been accepting lunch
or
for 7 months. Or
swear.
Or say douche and all that
anyway,
stuff.
Anyway, Dan says the game of the week this week is the Titans over the Jets. The teams are now 4-9 the week after playing the Patriots, with 3 of the 4 wins coming over the Jets or Dolphins. Teams keep putting everything they possibly have into playing the Pats, then come out flat the next week, including San Diego, Indy, and Pittsburgh. Throw in the Jets having nothing to play for while the Titans need the win, and you have the recipe for a huge blowout.
But there's a better one than that, Dan, because I told these guys, showed these guys this week, after you play the Steelers, you are now 2-12 against the spread. The only team that's covered was the Browns. They did it both times because the Patriots didn't cover this week. So Jacksonville's a big favorite at home this week against somebody. So going against Jacksonville, that's the play.
All right.
I think it's Seattle. And
I'm talking trend-wise.
One other comment, just as we're ripping apart this Patriots team and how not good they are, whatever channel is on one of our TVs is showing Super Bowl 36, 2001, and I'm just amazed when I see J.R. Redman running left behind Jermaine Wiggins and Grant Williams that team won a Super Bowl. It's amazing.
Bill Belichick. Calling in from the Congo is Saeed.
Oh, Saeed is our first caller from Africa.
All right.
He left me a message. Hello?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, Saeed?
Nothing much. Yeah, I left a message a while ago. I had just missed your show because it's like 8 o'clock over here at night. So
yeah, I've been hyping you for weeks. I told everybody you left me a message, the first ever call out of Africa. What's going
yeah.
on?
I heard the call a while ago. I said, okay, I might as well be the first one. You're getting calls from Madrid and Ukraine and, you know, Moscow, so I might as well slide a call in there. How's it going, guys?
Good. Very good. Can you see an elephant from where you are right now?
Actually, about an hour ago, yeah, they brought in how many? Hold on, how many did they bring? Yeah, they brought two from the eastern provinces.
Wow.
We don't ride them around. I drove past it, but, you know.
That's cool.
The Congo is always fascinating.
So Saeed, how did you become a Patriots fan?
I used to live in Boston.
Oh, there you go.
I used to live there during the old, I used to go up to Foxborough, the Urban Fryer, Stanley Morgan day. That's why I have my Urban Fryer t-shirt. So.
All right. Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, so I remember the dark days, so I'm really happy with what's going on now.
Okay, now what do you think about the Patriots playing a game in Africa?
You know, ironically, I talked to one of the guys over at the NFL, I think his name is Peter or something, about they had Hispanic Heritage Month last month, and I found out doing research there's about 34 players actually from Africa or via Africa, like, you know, those Giants defensive men.
Yeah.
So we talked to them. We talked to them about maybe we can do some kind of program, like, you know, hey, they can do like a camp over here or something like that.
You should get into. There's a Patriot player in training camp named Larry Anam who wants to do that. He went to Boston College.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. My dad, he taught at Boston College. He helped start the African Studies program there back in the 70s. So I'd love to talk to that guy.
Yeah, you guys should hook up. I don't know where he is now because he got cut. But
I call UPS.
Maybe he's watching the Boston College games. But, you know, so we're looking at doing something like that, and maybe even, you know, we're talking to some people about starting like a little, you know, four-man league here on the continent, you know, because a lot of players do watch the games over there on satellite TVs and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, that's awesome.
You guys are doing a really great job there, and, you know, Tom really, you know, I like his points when he's talking about Maroney because you guys are making great points about that. And, you know, I watched the last game, and I don't know, just something just looks very odd. Even the touchdown he got, it's like he tripped into the end zone. So it just looks kind of odd. I'm not really worried about them in the postseason, but I'm just really concerned about how they're going to address the running game when the weather gets, you know, crazy up there in Gillette.
They won't. They're going to pass, and they're going to win.
Hey, pass early, often, and always. That's just my attitude. But I wanted to ask you guys a question. I came across a post on a website earlier this morning, well, for us at least, and one of the guys, the passer on this ridiculous notion about Gillette needs a dome
in the
postseason. And my question was, I remember Tom brought this up some time ago, that Minnesota had a home field advantage that was about 90-0 until they put the dome up. And I just wanted to know what you guys thought about that, because I don't agree with the dome.
Yeah, the Minnesota used to have a great home field advantage.
Yep.
And while today most people consider that the loudest place to play, the home field advantage has gone away. I just think playing, like Andy says, when the Patriots and Colts, if they play in the cold weather, everyone's going to say, well, that really hurts the Patriots. But Tom Brady is used to being in this weather all the time.
Exactly.
Say what you want. Peyton Manning is not used to playing in this weather week after week. Brady's done it before and had success. So I think Jim Kelly's another one. I think Jim Kelly was bred to play in the cold because he's done it so much, where a guy like Troy Aikman hated to do it.
Exactly.
He's not used to it.
Exactly, and that's always been my argument. You know, we played that way before, you know, the Oakland game with Vinatieri making the kick and stuff like that. So for me, it's like, I'm not, you know, he played in Michigan. I'm not worried about the weather. Let it be. You know, I lived in Boston during the blizzard of 78. So, you know, bring him on. But look, they're calling me, and I think we're about to lose our connection. But you guys are doing a great job. And Andy, I heard your suggestion about some Bill Belichick coach movie you were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm actually a producer back in L.A., so I'll try to call again because I kind of enjoy that idea you keep bringing up.
All right, I'll have my people talk to your people.
Hey, guys, I got to go, but you guys are awesome. You guys are awesome.
Right, thanks, Saeed.
Awesome.
All right.
I got a writer and I got a producer now.
You got more employed unemployed contacts in Los Angeles.
So you're going to make a movie about
I'm putting the movie together, yeah.
Okay.
For the love of
God. Unauthorized? I'm sure.
Please let this happen.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be unauthorized.
Well, it's not going to be about Bill.
Because Bill wouldn't tell me what the best Christmas present he ever got was. Never mind, authorize a movie.
You still haven't got that answer?
No, I'm going to try this week.
All right. Mac from...
That was good. We got a guy in Congo now.
That's really good.
I like the Congo.
What do you know about the Congo?
I enjoy it. I enjoy reading about it.
Where is it?
It's in Africa.
Where in Africa?
I don't know what you're asking.
I don't know where it is. I have no idea where the Congo is.
It's where all the animals. When you watch the,
I see Africa, and it's about three times the size of the U.S.
When you watch all those things,
Gary's going to put
on Animal Planet and stuff. That's always in the Congo.
Is it desert?
Nah, it's like.
Oh, it's right in the middle of the country, just north of South Africa.
Like the jungle territory.
Let's see, Stripper has a
holy
question.
Holy crap, spit it out.
Stripper has a question for Andy.
Uh-oh.
He says, since you're from Dartmouth, King's Inn or Foxy Lady South Coast?
Foxy, they both suck.
Really?
Foxy Lady South Coast is better. King's Inn is as low as they come.
Okay.
Pregnant women, just absolutely disgusting.
Okay.
Although my uncle goes there a lot. He's got a VIP card.
Matt from Quincy, Scalavino.
But the South Coast is also where that guy got the. There was
that
a shootout.
Is not what we're looking for.
Might have saw that a couple. A guy got thrown out by the bouncers for his girl was a stripper, and he came back with a Chris Ferreira like performance, just taking everybody out.
Matt from Quincy says Scalavino must be a total tool.
Yep.
Because if you're 35 and single and right for and work under the masthead of the New England Patriots, you should be able to get more ass than a toilet seat.
I agree.
Sooner or later, he'll have to mail order bride from Bangladesh.
He'll really like a mail order bride. M-A-L-E.
Now.
The problem is he's not looking for ass.
Well he's looking for ass.
Now, come on now.
It is what it is, Fred. He made up a story so we'd get off his back, but he didn't play it out well.
First of all,
he said she was ridiculously hot, which right there was a warning signal.
Yeah.
Eric, at 35 and bald and skinny and everything, reading his little Reagan book with his green highlighter out, is not getting some hot babe.
And
Actually, she just had a fever.
I got to be honest with you. I don't care if he's gay.
I don't either.
You know, I watch the WNBA.
Me too.
I don't mind.
I go to Madonna concerts.
Stripper also says Adrian Peterson faces 8 to 9 in the box, keyed on stopping him. Maroney should be having 6 yards to carry. No D is keying on him. No D is stopping the run. Pats draft a running back day one next April. Book it.
Yeah, and
I agree. Day one.
I talk to the defenses all the time, and they come right out and tell you. You know, they're worried about Brady.
As they should be.
Wade Phillips. But other than him, you know, who's worried about Sammy Morris, but other than him, everyone's worried about the passing game.
I think, you know, those second and third round picks, they got that Raiders pick that's high somewhere in there. I think they will take a running back. One of those guys we talked about, Jones, and my guy Mendenhall.
Well, he's probably going in the first round.
No, I know, but somewhere in there, in that middle
Savage,
portion, not
guys.
It won't be McFadden. It's going to be a
right.
next-tier
guy. I agree.
Let's see. Mike writes in from Florida. The reason why Welker didn't get many touches was because Welker was running Moss-like routes, and Moss was running these short inside routes. They mixed it up because of the weather to get Moss more touches. I also think Brady and Moss, in the back of their heads, are thinking single-season TD receiving record. Last week, a caller asked about having some pictures on the website so we can see what you all look like. Until then, I will assume that Fred is like Rudolph because they don't let you play their reindeer games. Paul, although I've seen you on Patriots Today, you will be Santa because they obviously worship you. Tom will be baby New Year because he is always whining, and you will be crying next year when the Cowboys lose to the Pats.
Baby
Andy,
New Year.
You are that misfit Jack in the Box because you always pop in at the wrong times. Just
those
kidding.
Were the worst things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, and worship Paul. I think Paul should beg to have as much talent as I do.
Who worships Paul?
Well, I think because he gets
aside from Paul.
He gets all the, you know, the high profile stints.
No, but
he gets to be on Patriots.
I just want his money.
Whoa.
And Patriots today is not the high profile.
Andy,
one.
You hit it on the head. See, people got us all wrong. Andy and I don't want to be on EEI because more people will hear us. We just want the money.
We're very simple.
We're all about the bottom line. I could care where I am. If they're paying me, that's what I want. In my opinion, Paul Perillo's taking money out of our pockets because we're better.
I agree.
Well, then the fans are getting cheated, too. Because
that's true.
You know?
But, you know, we don't make the decisions. And
we won't kiss Big O's butt
that's
like
right.
Pete Shepard.
We're like Jose Canseco. We are blackballed in the industry.
And not just and for other reasons, too, which I won't go into here.
Let's see. Sean wants to know, I was wondering if you guys, specifically Tom, could compare James Laurinaitis to Ray Maluga, to A.J. Hawk and Patrick Willis as prospects in terms of how they fit in the Patriots' D. Also, can you do the same for Vernon Golston and Quentin Groves versus Sean Merriman and DeMarcus Ware?
Boy, that's a lot to do. I mean, Groves is the best pass rusher coming out for sure, I think. He's known as a pass rusher. I don't think he'd fit in this system. He plays at Auburn. He's a little lighter. They're not going to take Golston in the first round and turn him into an outside linebacker. Laurinaitis is a lot more versatile, where Maualuga's the kind of the run-stuffing guy. I don't know if I like any of them as much as I like Patrick Willis, to be honest with you.
I don't.
So,
I haven't seen a ton of any of them. But Laurinaitis, I think Willis was the perfect fit.
Yeah, Willis
he was perfect.
He was a special player, I thought.
Right.
Like LeRon Landry, who should go to the Pro Bowl, in my opinion, over Roy Williams. I think those guys were special. I like Laurinaitis. I like Maualuga. I like those guys, but I don't know if they're special like Willis was.
I don't think there's a special player in this year's draft.
You might be right.
I think it's
going to
be deeper than it is.
Because Landry's a Pro Bowler. Willis is a Pro Bowler. Peterson's a Pro Bowler. Joe Thomas is a Pro Bowler. So when they said there was a few guys at the top of that draft that were really good, they were right.
I think this is going to be one of those drafts where the best players are two or three guys that were taken late first round, second round, third round.
And the Patriots are picking two.
And the Patriots are picking two.
Let's see. Steve says a couple points in the game. It was refreshing to see the running game working a little bit. A couple times in particular, it looked like Maroney was going to get stopped at the line of scrimmage, but then he kicked in the afterburner for a decent gain.
But then he
maybe this success will turn the light bulb on for him. Also, it seemed to me that Brady was forcing the ball to Moss. One play in particular where Moss was double covered in the end zone that got broken up. Looked like there were two or three open receivers.
It's funny how CBS shows a replay and everybody points that out.
And
it's
just
amazing.
Double covered. It was just that white safety was back there.
They've done the same thing all year.
If that's the case, it seems there's a preoccupation with passing and receiving touchdown records, which is okay with home field wrapped up. Anyway, the real reason I'm writing is I had to tell you that they said douchebag on Family Guy Sunday night.
Well, I don't know if that's what we want to use as a barometer.
They say a lot of
that officially makes it okay for you to use it on the show, in my opinion.
The strip club is the hairy clam.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
We don't want
There's
to...
a lot of stuff we can't.
That's
some
like
of the racial jokes on there.
That's like saying, well, they said it on The Sopranos, you know?
Yeah.
It's all right.
I know it's on regular TV, but they are like South Park, and they either people stop caring, don't watch. I don't know what it is, but they get away with
cartoon
everything.
Cartoon characters saying
and
it. Maybe,
I think
you know?
Friends and King of Queens is a better argument than The Family Guy.
All right, but you know, according to this person, we can say it.
And no, Tom Brady and Randy Moss, when they are out on the field in the middle of a play, are not thinking about records. I find that absolutely laughable.
And if you think that, you should be mad at Brady and Moss,
right?
Because I just can't imagine Brady sitting there on 3rd and 8 thinking, I got to get this to Moss so we can break records. That's not how they
People
work.
Need to, there's no thought process involved at that point. These guys are robots. They're trained that if the safety's here, the corner's here, Moss is here, it's all just, it's reactionary. It's the muscle fibers and just taking over. And there's no, well, you know what, if I throw to Moss here, we can get another touchdown and get one closer to the records that we're looking for. That's just stupid.
Wow.
Do you, Fred, think they're thinking about records?
So playing the part of Paul Perillo calling people stupid, Andy Hart.
Well, they are
He's
stupid.
He's not quite as condescending as Paul, though.
No.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will be back tomorrow, Wednesday. It's media day, pizza everywhere, and Paul Perillo will, I don't know, he may not be back.
He might not be in here in time, so.
Yeah. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.